If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
That girl's fat.
How dare you? How dare you say that, son of a bitch?
These beasts are the largest living land mammals in North America. They're so ferocious, they have no natural predators. And they're omnivorous, which means they'll eat just about anything. And nothing gets between them and their food.
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty. This is for all the fat girls!
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
Shut up, fatty, fat, fat pants!
And now...
My first impression of Kevin is that maybe he's looking for a sex change.
Our feature presentation.
You think it would work better if I were a female?
You would not be a good-looking woman, I'll tell you that.
Don't think so either. Hadn't considered that. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Thursday the 8th. What?
I'm just listening to that voice. I can't wait to hear about last night.
It's Thursday the 18th of Rocktober.
All I know is Lightning came in a few moments ago, and he said to Psycho Mike, hey, did you stay to the end last night? And Mike said, no, I got out early, around 1.
And
I thought, what kind of a night was this?
It was a good night. That's what kind of night it was.
Last night was the big Banpax Sanchez show that we've been telling you about at the Whiskey, a benefit for Thai hookers. How many were you able to buy, Kevin?
Well, you don't buy them as much as you donate to the cause.
And then they come to your hotel later? Yeah. I still don't understand how this works with the Thai hooker.
Just right there. You don't even have to go to the hotel.
Oh, that's great.
It's just right in front of everyone. That's the best part.
Tell me about a Banpax show, because I understand they are unusual among bands playing in L.A. these days.
Well, that's a difficult thing to really encapsulate. They're not very good, first of all. And by not very good, I mean they're pretty good. But for some reason, the thing at their shows has been people starting to throw stuff. Newspapers, OC Weekly, whatever they can find, they start just throwing. It's like raining paper.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Whiskey, where the show was last night, not thrilled with that. Not particularly happy about that. And they are not big fans of the mosh pit either.
Okay.
But you would think at the Whiskey... why not?
What?
But they were not big fans of that at all. At one point, I did get knocked off my feet onto the ground. At another point, I did get knocked into another guy whose entire alcohol spilled right on me, on my leg and hip. And I don't know why, but it seems like I am a magnet for alcohol. That's just anywhere I am, people spill on me.
In or out of your mouth, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
I did hit Psycho Mike in the face with a ball of paper.
Excellent.
Did hit him right in the face, but it was probably after about, I don't know. Well, first one guy got kicked out for throwing paper, and so then they walk up to Mike and they go, and then Mike says, "They're telling me to tell you that." They're telling me to tell you that they are going to start throwing people out for throwing paper. So while we appreciate it, please don't.
So while we appreciate it, thank you for throwing paper, but don't.
Yeah.
Although I know you're really, you're giving us the brief version, the Reader's Digest version of how Psycho Mike probably did it on stage, which was, okay, there are trees, and then they cut them down, and then they take the wood, and then they send it to a pulp mill, and then they turn it into paper, and then sometimes they print stuff on it, and then you read it, and then you pick it up, and you ball it up, and then you throw it, and then don't do that. That was more like what Psycho Mike probably said, knowing how much he talks.
In normal circumstances, I would agree with you. But for this particular time, he was rather brief, which I was very surprised by.
So did you guys then start throwing paper on fire?
No, we didn't light it on fire.
Because I believe that's happened in previous shows.
But we did have a bet going. Myself and the drummer of Sanchez, the guys who do Dick Cheney.
Yes.
We had a bet going where you had to hit Psycho Mike in the face with a paper, like a balled up piece of paper, but you have to do it while he's either talking or singing. He can't just be playing the guitar. He's not the lead singer. So every once in a while, he'll send backup vocals or whatever, or he'll start talking. So he has to be talking. And I mean, we rifled, I don't know, 10 million shots at Psycho Mike. And it was high. It would go high. It would go left. It would go right. Couldn't hit him for the life of me. So then I finally decide, oh, wait a minute, it's too light. The paper's too light that I'm balling up. So I took my drink and I poured it onto the paper and made a nice wet ball out of it.
That sounds like a real waste of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, though. I tell you.
This particular drink was vodka. Okay. And Psycho Mike got up to the microphone, started talking, and I think I hit him just square on in the nose.
Could have been better.
It was the best shot ever while he was talking. I mean, he just boom right in his face.
So go to Kirok.com, see the video of Kevin throwing out the first pitch of the Dodgers game, and then imagine something better than that.
A lot better.
Is what you're suggesting.
And then it occurred to me, good, Psycho Mike's in recovery, and I just hit him in the face with some vodka.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
I could be the reason for his downfall here. That's not good.
Vodka drizzles down into his mouth.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, I remember this.
Hey, that's a good taste. I'm back
in. I want more of that. I would have thrown change at him. That would have been the call.
Yeah, that would have been good. I didn't have any change, but that would have been good. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that would have been really good. At another point, darts. At another point, this chick, do you know who that girl was that came up
stage
on
stage dive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the bass player's girlfriend.
Oh, no kidding.
That we were this close from cutting it right there because that was that brutal.
What happened?
We were this close from pulling the plug.
She came running up on stage, and at the whiskey, it wasn't jam-packed so that there's just a sea of people. There was kind of a mosh pit in front of the stage, so you can't really stage dive because there's not a lot of people there that are going to catch you.
Oh, geez.
Because they're moshing. You know, they're moving around and everything. And if you hit it just right, there's not going to be anybody there. She ran up, took one step onto the middle speaker, and just dove. And there was no one there except for one unfortunate guy that was kind of walking in front of the stage. And she kind of straddled his head and landed like right on her back.
Like the nape of her neck.
Right in the middle of this.
Concrete, essentially.
And every single person there turned to each other. Did you see that? Oh, my God. She jumped up. She was fine. What was she on?
Just a ton of booze.
That was brutal, and she was fine.
That girl's an animal. And, like, let's not have any, like, misconceptions. This is not a burly punk rock.
No.
Like a cutesy, very petite little girl, and that's her MO. She's no
really?
Joke. She didn't
there was never a thought of maybe no one will catch me. She knew no one would catch her, and she was
didn't
good
care.
She was all good with that.
Yeah.
Wow. She thought she could fly.
It was really bizarre.
Wow.
How did Brow Down go over?
Brow Down was pretty huge. It was the extended remix.
Okay. Excellent.
And Razmik really brought it on that song.
Oh, yeah, he's good. That guy's good. He's the best Armenian rapper alive today.
But, you know, Brow Down was the maybe the third best song. Second best song was whatever your traffic song is, F you. And then,
Gridlock.
Yes. Yeah, Gridlock. And then the best song of the night.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey There, Vagina.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a big hit? Was that that's his Green Day time of your life? That's the moment where
exactly.
Everybody like slow dances, holds cell phones up in the air?
Yep, exactly. He just sits there and he brings it down low for a second. He's got his guitarist playing. He's singing it. And then halfway through, they all kick in. And you're just like, yeah, this is the moment right here.
I want to hear that live version of Hey There, Vagina. Are there bootlegs of the show?
Scorsese was there. So
yeah, you know. Lightning Scorsese was there with a camera.
Fantastic.
He got blackmailed into having to pay to to bring it in.
Really?
Yeah, and then he also recorded it through the soundboard, so we should have. I don't know how good it came out, but
not that we're allowed to play it, but still,
no,
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that sounds like a hell of a night right there.
Sure,
that was good times. Yeah.
And how was Dave texting?
Yeah, pretty much the whole time. Yeah, he was taking pictures though. I think he took a bunch of pictures so that we could put them up online. One of them being was Psycho Mike's wife. It's a shame she's not more attractive. And
yeah, no kidding.
That she wasn't wearing more of a see-through top.
Oh, God bless Jenny. I love her so much. Talk about a woman who's wasting the best years of her life with Mike, though. Jeez.
I said, it's a good thing Bean's not here because his head would explode right now.
I love her so.
Yeah.
I don't know about Dave. I know Dave's going to be in rough shape this morning.
Yeah.
He stayed after you left, right? He and Beer
Mug? I was going to say, okay, you thought I stayed late. Add about half hour to Omar, because that's how late Omar stayed.
Right.
Then add God knows how much time and way more alcohol to Dave and Beer Mug, who both have to be here this morning.
Dave, by the way, not here yet.
And I caught a call
Beer Mug.
I got a call from Beer Mug at about 5:08.
Oh, good.
And he was, like, really in bad. He was in, like, Hasselhoff beer mug mode.
No.
I think I'm going to be a little late.
Oh, God.
So the show will be limping on by today, yes. I think is what everybody is suggesting.
Oh, no, we're in the best shape of our lives.
Dude.
We feel great. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Because this is going to be a good one. We have Ask a Whore. Now,
yes.
Our Ask A series has been very popular. We stole it. From Ask a Mexican, from mm-hmm. Gustavo Arellano. And we did Ask a Cop. That was the last one we did. This one's Ask a Whore. And she's actually going to come into the studio, and you're going to be able to ask her whatever questions you have for hookers.
How often do you get to do that?
Yeah, I mean.
Unless you're paying.
Do you say no right. to anyone? Mm-hmm. You know, all yeah. kinds of different questions.
What's the fattest guy that's ever come in? And do you keep in touch with Tad? You know, those sorts of things.
Sure, of course. All those questions. We have Harvey Levin on the show today from TMZ.com.
Great.
We have Dancing with the Stars fans.
Angry Dancing with the Stars fans.
I was really shocked. Yesterday we were mocking Dancing with the Stars, and Bean was kind of going off on him. How could you possibly watch that show? Because it was number one mm-hmm. and yeah. number, what, seven or something.
Seven, right.
Bullshit. And we had some people call up that were really angry at us. They were really mad.
I got an email just this morning from a woman who says we must be gay if we don't watch Dancing with the Stars because there are hot chicks in skimpy outfits on.
Yeah, that's always the excuse, by the way. That's always the excuse. But there are hot chicks in great outfits everywhere. You don't have to watch that show. It's not the only one where they feature hot chicks.
I watched that show the first two seasons, yeah. and I know why they watch it, but I also know you have to accept people's scorn if you watch it. It's just part of the deal.
And
you're
going
to be
so.
Mocked, and you just have to accept
and
it.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
As great as hot chicks are in skimpy clothing, you shouldn't have to sit through Gloria Estefan to get to them. That's what we're saying.
Shouldn't have to sit through her for anything ever. And by the way, we found out yesterday, Dave the King of Mexico, who I used to have a lot of respect for because his favorite band is Rage Against the Machine, so is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Gloria Estefan.
I like
it. Yay! That is unexpected.
Oh.
No, it's good. It's good. It's happy. Pop-pop.
I was so shocked. He started saying that yesterday. I started throwing everything I had at him.
You wouldn't talk to him anymore.
He's like one of that. She's one of those people that to me, that is the opposite of music. And it makes me want to throw up when it's really a horrible reaction to it.
Yeah.
He's the like, poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
It's not too bad. I like it. I like that Congo.
It makes me feel happy.
That makes a happy song.
High energy. It's good.
So then we started, you know, what about 1, 2, 3, 4, Mother Effer, the worst song ever? Oh, I like it. It's kind of upbeat. So anyway, we'll get to Dancing with the Stars fans today and figure out what the hell's going on with them. And we got LaQuisha back.
Great.
And she's going to give us the recap of Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Excellent.
Maybe the best show ever because it's bad. She's bad. They're all bad.
Yes. So
that's good times. And we're going to start giving away Xbox 360s today.
Oh, no
sure
kidding.
Sure we are. Been teasing it for like 4 months. Today we're actually going to start giving it away.
Wow.
At least that's what we're being told. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph, you're sorry you missed the Phantom Pooper, I bet.
Not so much.
Oh, best story ever.
I was willing to let that one slide by, no pun intended.
Hey, you do have the mustache and the soul patch.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm rocking the mustache.
Nice.
I'm bringing the mustache back. I'm bringing Stashy back.
That's a good look.
The words of JT.
I like that. Yeah.
It's 5:50 Thursday morning, time for the first Showbiz Report of the week that's probably going to sound professional. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Finally, a presidential candidate I can get behind.
Oh, who's this?
Stephen Colbert has thrown his hat into the ring.
Hey, what?
On The Daily Show last night, Colbert made a surprise appearance to officially announce he was considering a run for president. Then he said he would talk about it more in his own show. 20 minutes later, he announced, yes, I'm doing it. He's running for president, and he welcomed CBS political analyst Jeff Greenfield to analyze his impact on the race in the past 3 minutes. And they did an in-depth analysis of how he was affecting the presidential race.
He's great.
I'm so writing him in.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, this sounds like, you know, just, hey, it's a funny joke on the TV, but I heard he's actually going to get his name on the ballot in South Carolina.
Oh, that's
really?
Funny.
That's his plan anyway, because I guess that's where he's from. He's bringing truthiness back.
That 1-2 punch of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, fantastic.
Very, very funny.
Really good.
Very entertaining. Lance Bass tells GQ magazine that the first person he came out to regarding his homosexuality was Britney Spears.
Oh, my God.
He's a homo.
What the?
Well, if you're going to go, if you have a personal problem, if you need some guidance, if you need some perspective and direction in life,
sure.
Who else do you go to?
She's the one.
Apparently, Lance and a gentleman friend of his were in Vegas the night Brittany married Jason Alexander. Remember her 55-hour marriage
that
she later got annulled?
Yep.
Lance said she seemed sad and upset about what she had done.
And you, I have sex with guys, he said.
And he felt the need to share something about him. So then they compared problems, I guess.
I think you got it bad.
No kidding.
I can't sit down.
This guy's a fruit.
The Ellen DeGeneres puppy saga continues.
Oh, this is the craziest.
Crazy, yeah.
It's just retarded. Of course, you've probably heard by now that Ellen adopted a dog, Iggy, and then couldn't keep the dog, so passed it along to her hairdresser's two daughters. Mutts and Moms was the name of the rescue organization that she received the puppy from, and the head of that organization, Marina Batkus, insisted that the puppy be returned.
To them, not...
To them, not to the hairdresser, because that was not the original party that they agreed with in order to have the dog adopted.
Right.
Well, now Marina Batkus from Mutts and Moms is talking out to the New York Post, saying the situation went down nothing, like Ellen said on her show on Tuesday.
Is that right? What's she saying happened?
She is not talking about it now because she said that she has received a threatened lawsuit by Ellen's lawyers and has started receiving death threats and hate calls from Ellen's fans.
Yeah, those Ellen fans, man, they will take you out.
They're ridiculous. Apparently, Marina filed a police report yesterday due to the drama. Ellen's attorney defends herself, saying she never, of course, left any threatening messages, but apparently it's getting ugly. Wow. But Marina says the truth will come out. What could possibly be the deep truth behind this story? Get a puppy, give it to somebody else. End of story.
That's it.
By the way, Ellen's got PETA on her side.
PETA?
Yeah. They came out swinging for her yesterday saying that the pet purchase was not impulsive. She did the right thing, and they commended her for getting the animal out of a shelter and putting it in the arms of some loving children who would appreciate it.
And then they killed the puppy to show how bad that is.
That's right, and then they skinned it. And they made Pamela Anderson wear it or something. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how they worked over there.
You would think that Mutts and Moms would have the welfare of the dog as their first interest, and they would say, they'd go to the home and go, oh, the hairdresser is a good good dog owner? It's a good environment for the dog? Okay, that's okay. Fine. We're satisfied. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You would think.
I'm guessing that when she says the true story is going to come out, maybe what she did is go and say, I'm going to take the dog. You can apply for it and we'll do the regular process. It's possible. I mean, I don't agree with
still
her.
Still hateable.
But it's possible that that's what she was doing.
But how tight a ship do they need to run over there regarding where a dog goes to live?
I have tried to adopt dogs from some of these rescue organizations. And in fact, I got a dog from one, but some of them are like Nazis. It's unbelievable.
Really? They hate Jewish people?
They don't call you back. They act like they are doing you such a favor to let you have a dog.
And what is wrong with them?
Well, they don't trust people.
Well, I think in the attic and be quiet.
They don't trust people to treat dogs right.
I can understand that, but...
It's like an organization full of beans. People don't trust people, only animals. Paris Hilton may be single and looking to mingle again. Apparently, she has given her pizza delivery boyfriend the heave-ho. That relationship, well, I really thought was going to last.
Was he like a sweet or something?
He was. Very good, Lisa. Extra showbiz points for you. He was a native Swede who was living in the United States pursuing a modeling career. She discovered him delivering pizzas and said that she would help him get his career off the ground. But apparently, things just didn't work out.
Ah, it's too bad. It looked like a good one.
Yeah.
They had a lot in common.
He was good-looking. Sources say.
Right.
But he was too shy and quiet for her tastes. Apparently she likes more raucous bad boys. So.
Sure. Right.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
They call it mystery meat.
What?
It's like they call it mystery meat.
Good to see not much has changed in a few days away.
I'd like to do mine now if I
sure,
could.
Sure, sure.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
I don't have a favorite.
I don't really know any of them.
That's right after she told Larry King she read the Bible every day in jail.
Apparently it's good to be Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
According to In Touch magazine, the actor showed up at a nightclub in Los Angeles looking for, you know, a little something-something.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Picked out a girl and within minutes was already making out with her. Walked up to her from intro to tongue, they said was about 2.5 minutes.
It's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong.
Well, when your brother's Santa Claus, for God's sake, you can get any woman you want.
See, because there's a Christmas movie coming out in like 2 months.
You ready for the big debut tonight on CBS?
Big debut tonight of
Viva Laughlin.
Oh, I've heard this is great.
Viva Laughlin.
I do not get
it's a musical, isn't it?
It is. It is a musical, Kevin.
And
they're gonna break into song.
Hugh Jackman is great.
Yeah.
Let me read you a little quick blurb from the New York Times review that came out this morning. Viva Laughlin may well be the worst new show of the season.
Yes, I'm in.
Yeah, we might all have to tune in to see what's going on. It's based on a very popular BBC show from England called Viva Blackpool, about a guy who wants to open his own casino in the seaside town. And they sing along with songs, like popular songs that you know already.
Oh.
And they don't sing them, they sing along with them.
What, so it's like on a radio or something? And they
No, song just kind of comes on, and then they sing along with it.
It's like a music video, an extended music video.
Sort of, like that, yeah. It's sort of a surreal presentation where apparently these people are thinking, these songs are always appropriate for the situation. They're kind of thinking them in their heads and then singing them out loud as if it's almost a dream sequence kind of thing.
You kind of just hear their thoughts.
Right.
And listen,
it's very artfully done, the British version. I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off with Melanie Griffith. In the American
She's
version.
In it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
As much as we complain, though, about the same old TV shows, I like that they're at least trying this.
I do, too.
Like going out on a limb, you know?
I'm all for something different. That's why I like that Pushing Daisies so much. It's just not your average,
just different,
regular TV show you see day in and day out. So.
Well, if you're saying singing and Melanie Griffith, I'm saying two episodes. That's what I'm saying is how many will air.
That's the over-under, two?
Yes,
he's
two.
Not a Melanie Griffith.
That's my prediction.
They're spending a lot of money on this show, too. Hugh Jackman not only stars, but is also the executive producer. So and maybe CBS will let him have a little more.
I hope.
A little more line before they pull.
I hope it's either really good or really bad. One of the two.
Ready for a new version of The View? Another View?
Don't care much?
No.
A Four Other Women?
Yes.
A whole another hour?
Yes.
Huh.
This, Lisa, will be the Jersey version.
Oh, well, that won't be strident.
It's like the Jersey Girls.
Wow.
A Hollywood Reporter says Debbie Mazar, who, of course, you know, is the publicist on Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A Quiet Little Flower.
Quiet Little Flower.
Sure.
Karen Duffy, Duff from MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet, reserved young lady.
Mm-hmm. Still alive.
Yeah. And Aida Turturro.
Oh, my God.
Janice Soprano from The Sopranos, Tony's sister.
This is a nightmare.
We'll all be sharing their powerful opinions about the day's topics on a brand new TV show.
There's not enough of that already on
TV. We need more women chatting on television, Kevin.
You know, those women don't chat. They scream.
That's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to remind me so much of home. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Chuck Berry, the architect of rock and roll.
He's the man.
Good friend of our security guard, Charles,
yep.
who knows Chuck very well. Chuck, by the way, I believe is still rocking out at 81 years old.
Is he really?
He's 81 years old. He still does a bunch of tours, dates around the country.
Indian casinos and whatnot?
And yeah, country fairs and I guess that kind of thing, you know. But I'm pretty sure even to this day, he still insists on being paid in cash.
Mm-hmm.
He sure does.
Really? And fascinatingly, and by the way, you should totally get the Taylor Hackford movie Hail Hell Rock and Roll sometime, which is all about Chuck Berry, and it's just magnificent. But he does not have a band. He just flies in by himself with a guitar, and part of the contract writer is you have to provide a band for me, a backup band, that he refuses to meet until 1 minute before they go on stage.
Yep.
There's no rehearsal. There's no practice. He says, look, if you don't know how to play Chuck Berry music, you got no business being in a band. Let's
go. Oldest rock music there is.
But what if they suck? What if they're bad?
It's not on him.
Wow.
He stands backstage, and he waits for them to bring a briefcase full of cash, and that's when he goes on stage. When he opens the briefcase and sees the cash, that's when he walks on stage to perform.
That's awesome.
He's the man.
He is the best.
Wow.
And he likes it. Oh, no, yeah. I don't want to talk about what he likes sexually, because it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mindy. Remember Mindy from Mork and Mindy? Pam Dauber?
Sure.
Yeah. She's 56 years old today. The Muscles from Brussels, Jean-Claude Van Damme, is 47. Erin Moran, Joni from Happy Days, is 46, and she has aged like fine wine.
No.
I don't know if you've seen her recently.
Sorry, I have seen her.
She's an eclair of love. There she is. It's my new show, by the way. I hope you all turn in, eclair of love. Peter Svensson, guitarist for the Cardigans. You know the Cardigans, don't you? Remember this song? Oh, yeah. Come on, dance with me.
Dear, I fear we're faced
We're going to have really time to recap the Cardigan's interview today.
Probably one of the highlights of the Kevin and Bo Bean Show for me personally, back when I was a listener before I joined the show, was your interview with the Cardigans. Remember how well that went?
I sure don't.
I can remember it as if it was yesterday.
I went to Norway, you know, and they had the IKEA. The IKEA was huge.
Is it huge?
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Nina, you've been here for 15 minutes. You're already tired of Norway? But see...
That was just... that was... As it began to flame out, it got much worse from there.
Luckily, we do this every hour, so we can bring you more and more of that.
Oh, dear God.
That guitarist, I believe, was the one who literally fell asleep on the counter.
Just put his head down, right?
Yeah, put his head down and started, like, snoring while we were trying to talk to them.
Look, which one of us hasn't wanted to do that during our show at some point or
no question.
Yeah. And Zach Effinger's 20.
Excuse me, what? Excuse me? What? What? What?
Come on.
What? What?
Actor Zac Efron turns 20 years old today.
Gay.
I need a private moment. I'll be right back.
That is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
I didn't realize how gay he was until I found out that his character's name in High School Musical is Troy Bolton.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's named Troy Bolton. I'm Troy Bolton. Shut up. You're not.
You're a private eye if you are.
You big Fruit Loop. Yeah, exactly. You're either a logger or a private eye with the name Troy Bolton.
Logger, by the way, is another good way to refer to gay people.
Yeah, I think he's a logger.
A logger.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to go to our man, Harvey Levin, who we have on the show from time to time. TMZ.com is the website. Good morning, Harvey.
Hi, Harvey.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Lisa Mann.
Hello.
Harvey, I saw you on the People's Court yesterday, man. I can't believe you're still doing that show. How do you have time?
I went to New York on Friday, and I took a 2:20 flight from L.A. to New York on Friday, and I took a 2:20 flight back on Saturday, and in between, we did 45 cases.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, I'll bet you're sharp near the end of that.
Oh, yeah.
Harvey explained to me yesterday that those signs in the parking garages that say they're not responsible for any damage to your car are actually legally enforceable. They can come in with a baseball bat and destroy your car in their parking lot if they want. That wasn't the case, but, I mean, that was the inference. And you have no recourse. They are not responsible. It was unbelievable, Harvey.
Were you drunk when you were watching that?
Why do you ask?
Is that not even close to right?
Well, it's not exactly. If they're negligent, if they just make a mistake and they drive your car into a pole and it's just negligence, and you get one of those tickets, they're not responsible. But if they're malicious, you can it doesn't count.
Harvey, that's how all of our conversations go here. We all say something and then Bean recounts it and we go, what? Huh? What? Talking
well,
about.
Well, listen, we wanted to have you on, Harvey, today because we haven't checked in with you in a week or so. And there's, as always, so much great stuff going on. And I'm always particularly interested in your opinion as an attorney because this Orlando Bloom case that you've been following very closely is real interesting. The short version of the story is Orlando's in an accident, walks away. He's got people hurt in the incident. And then I guess some paparazzi talked him into going back. And now the LAPD are discussing, at least, charging him with hit and run, even though he wasn't at fault for the accident, right?
Well, it's not clear who was at fault for the accident. I mean, look, he hit a parked Porsche. So the presumption is he's responsible. Now, he says an SUV cut him off, and they're investigating that. But they are absolutely investigating hit and run. And what's really interesting about this is his publicist told us that he called 911 immediately. We don't see that on any of the tape we have.
Really?
But what we found yesterday and we put up on the show is he walked away. He did walk away, and when you X-17 has this video, and when you look at him walking away, and you listen to the paparazzi saying, look, there's somebody injured in your car, go back, this is hit and run. And when it finally registers, and he does go back, the first thing he says is, would somebody call an ambulance? Well, if he called 911, he wouldn't have asked that question because it would have already been done. So the cop who's investigating told me, it makes a huge difference if he at least tried to help the woman who had a fractured neck before he started walking. And I'm thinking maybe he didn't do that because why would he say, would anybody call an ambulance when he walked back?
Yeah. Okay, so he hit the parked car, then his car was still there with the woman in it?
The woman, there were two women in it, and one of them was in really bad shape.
Okay.
And the publicist said to me, It was just a minor injury. It was a fractured neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Our listeners yesterday, Harvey, when this came up, were suggesting that maybe the reason he wanted to get out of there was to take something out of the car and maybe hide something that he didn't want to be there when the police arrived to investigate the accident.
Well, look, I don't know that. What I do know is 5 minutes before the accident, we were at a club in Hollywood, and he got into a big fight with this guy over a girl, and he was acting crazy. And, you know, you just have to look at the video and judge for yourself. Now, the cops tell us that there was no evidence that he was under the influence, and they never did a blood alcohol test ever.
Right.
And, you know, and but I'm just saying, we're looking at this video five minutes before, and he's a little nutty.
So if you walk away from the scene, but come back in time, talk to the police, but that's hit and run.
Well, that's what's unclear. How many steps do you have to take before it's hit and run? And there's no clear answer to it. But the cop told me, who's investigating, a lot depends on what he did or didn't do before he started walking.
Right.
And
I
think if he didn't call 911, I think he's in trouble.
Wow.
Harvey Levin is on the line from TMZ.com, of course, TMZ TV, which airs on Channel 11 at 6:30. We got a piece from the show last night that we want to ask you about our favorite. Here's Paris Hilton.
But her mission is not necessarily world peace.
This, by the way, this is a story on Paris Hilton, how she's going to Africa on a charity mission.
Yep.
And everybody's making a big deal, like, oh, she's changing her life. She meant it when she said that. She's going to go do some charity.
But her mission is not necessarily world peace or hunger or extending life. It's about extending hair. Paris will be racking up the miles to promote her new partnership with Dreamcatcher's Hair Extension Company.
They look great. People can't even tell that I'm wearing extensions.
Because that's what Africa needs, hair extensions.
What the? She is not going to Africa to promote hair extensions.
Extensions, but that's not even the best part. Guess who she wants to meet? Guess who she wants to meet with while she's there?
Who she
don't
to
say
meet
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
No, she did not.
Oh my God.
Well, they have a lot in common. They were both in jail.
She met with Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
And then when he said he didn't need hair extensions, she left. That's so weird.
It's hilarious. He hasn't said yet whether he's going to meet with her, but if I were him, I would.
Of course, yeah. Just to check her
out, can have her.
See what's going on.
Yeah. Now, does she have anyone advising her on how to turn her life around with the various charities and projects that she gets involved in? Or is it really just up to her whim, whatever she feels like that day?
Well, you know, she's the opposite of Brittany. She really does have a lot of advisors.
Oh, okay.
And they're actually, but her advisors are actually good. I mean, they're savvy and they're really good in terms of business.
All right.
And she's really, you know, look, you can make all the fun you want, but she's really successful.
Right.
And a lot of these companies that she fronts or endorses or whatever, they make a lot of money. And she's got advisors who have created kind of a Paris Hilton brand.
Right.
So you got to give it to her. I mean, she's
okay, but didn't any of those advisors say, hey, maybe those people want food in Africa?
So, you know, so listen, Paris Hilton brings food over to Africa. You know, join the crowd. She's bringing hair extensions.
That's there you
gonna
go.
That's going to get coverage.
Yeah.
That's the way to look at it.
Wow.
All right. Harvey has less than a minute left before he's got to go. Let me just ask your quick impression on how the latest Brittany turning herself in on her hit and run. What will eventually happen with that case? Will there be a fine? Will there be time? What'll happen, do you think?
On Brittany?
Yeah. On Brittany, yeah.
The word that I'm getting is, I mean, look, she didn't leave a note, which she should have done. There were also like 8 billion paparazzi there, so it's not like she was going to get away with nobody knowing it.
Right.
So what I'm hearing is she'll probably settle civilly with the person whose car she hit. They'll drop the hit and run, but they'll still prosecute her for driving without a license.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Gotcha.
Well, that makes sense.
Her bigger problem, guys, I mean, her bigger problem is she is totally pissed off the judge in the custody case.
Yeah, I read on your site this morning she called him an old fart.
Unbelievable. I mean,
really?
Unbelievable. I mean, she was so rude to this judge at the hearing last week. I mean, we know this. She was interrupting him. She was dripping with sarcasm.
Wow.
And now there's a report today in the New York Daily News that she was a Neiman Marcus. Yeah, she was calling him an old fart. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Hasn't she ever seen a television show before? That's the one thing you learn from all those legal shows is that the judge can make your life hell if he doesn't like you.
It's unreal what she's done. I mean, when she is going to be in court on October 26th, I mean, I would pay dearly to see that.
She's the best.
TMZ.com is the site. TMZ TV every night at 6:30 on Channel 11, and then the big special hour-long over the weekend, too. Harvey, we know you're very busy. Thanks for squeezing us in, as always, on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Always, guys.
Thank you, man. Ralph, we stepped in a little something that we weren't expecting yesterday when we started making fun of Dancing with the Stars, and how it's the number one and number, I don't know, seven show or whatever.
Yeah.
And Bean started yelling about, why are you people watching it? People called up. They were so angry at us.
You have no idea the passion that some of these fans carry for this show.
Our people who listen to this show hated us for saying that. We're like, what?
You would understand there is a subset of people out there who are fascinated and passionate about the show, but you wouldn't think they would listen to the Kevin and Bean show. You wouldn't think those two would cross.
Right.
Mutually exclusive, we thought. Yeah. We figured we were on safe ground there, but apparently we are the Antichrist because we don't watch people ballroom, because we're not tuning in every week to watch Marie Osmond freaking dance. Apparently that makes us bad people, Ralph.
Well, I have always thought you two were the Antichrist, but yeah, not for that reason.
For a lot of other reasons.
Right.
We're going to talk because you took my soul. That's why I was thought.
We're going to talk to fans of that show coming up after the top of the hour, Dancing with the Stars, because honestly, this is one of those things where, you know, you could say, hey, I don't like that show, but I can see why people would like it. It's just not my taste. Not Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
No, it's just not possible.
Anyway, that'll be after 7, just after 8 this morning. And Ralph, you picked a great day to come back. Ask a Whore on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Ask a Whore happening between 8 and 9 this morning.
See, I could do that bit. We don't even need her.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think I'm going to learn much today. I don't know, maybe I'll be surprised. But.
You're an amateur. We want a professional. That's the difference.
I think he's a professional as well.
6:52, time for the Showbiz Beat, the return of Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, you know I like to, once in a while, do a casting announcement. If there's a chance for you to be on a reality show or they're looking for actors, whatever, I like to give our listeners the heads up in case they're interested in getting in the entertainment business. And this particular casting announcement caught my eye. It's a casting call for a new show called Battle of the Bods.
Battle of the Bods?
Yes.
Okay.
It is going to be on the Fox Reality Channel.
Okay.
And here's basically how it works. It's a reality competition show.
Boobs.
Yes. Where five girls wearing bikinis or lingerie
right.
will be ranked in order of attractiveness yes. by a panel of judges and by themselves.
Vagina.
And by themselves.
Vagina.
Yes.
Are those judges all men by
yes,
any chance?
Yes, they are, Lisa.
Oh,
and are
fun.
Are there new contestants each week?
Yes, the same? There are, Kevin.
I think I'm in.
The whole point of the show is just to end the show with knowing who's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in order.
And well, here's how the game is played. By the way, they need a host. I got to get my agent on this one. Here's how the game is played. There are five smoking hot girls in bikinis and/or lingerie.
Okay.
And they are behind a one-way mirror.
Okay.
So the guys can see them, but they can't see the guys. And the guys rank them in order of attractiveness in four rounds. The first round is face.
Okay. Right.
Who has the most attractive face, 1 to 5? The second round is boobs. Okay. Who has the best cans?
Boobs.
The third round is ass.
Okay.
And then the fourth round is overall appearance. Now, while the guys are doing that, the girls, the five girls in the other room, have to rank themselves in order 1 to 5
oh
of
God.
The best of those best parts.
Oh.
So the five girls have to look at each other and say, who's the prettiest girl? All right, you're number one, and I'm number two, and I'm number
three. Oh, that's not going to go
and
well.
And if they match up, the girls win money.
If they match up with what the guys say.
With what the guys say.
So
yeah.
they have to be brutally honest if
right.
they want to try to win them. I
that
see
sounds
what you're
awesome.
They want to try to match what the guys are thinking in terms of their ranking. And the more they match, the more money they get at the end of the show.
All right, then.
How great
just
is
so
this?
Sad.
How great is this?
Cause
you're gonna
sad.
Get, you're going to get smoking hot chicks. You're going to get guys busting on them and ranking them. And then you're going to get a lot of catfighting because girls are going to say, no, I'm prettier than you are. What are you kidding me? I'm number one. Oh, come on.
When and where are the auditions?
Come on. Anyway, they're looking, as you can imagine, for smoking hot boobs with great faces.
And butts.
Asses and boobs.
Sorry. What they're looking for is hot chicks with low self-esteem to be on a program like this. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. Psycho Mike isn't the producer of this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you are interested and you'd like to be on the show, send me a photograph of yourself.
No. I don't think it goes through you at all, Rob. I think there's actually a casting call.
It is. www.foxreality.com. Foxreality.com/casting. On their website gives you all the details and how you can call them and check in. And
is that the only one there? Or what's the name of that show?
It's called Battle of the Bods.
Battle of the Bods.
Yeah.
There's a phone number as well, but no one will remember it or write it down. So if you really want the phone number, you can email me at ralph@krock.com, and I'll give you the casting hotline.
Look at you working it still.
No, I'm just saying.
No,
with a photo. You got to send a photo so that you know you're serious, though, right,
Ralph? Guys, you don't know how I...
Yes, we do.
All about the entertainment.
Right.
That's all.
Good times.
Not good times for John Goodman.
Why?
What's wrong with him?
Fatty fat? What's he up to?
He's just checked out of rehab.
Really?
Oh.
That little sneaky bastard got in under the radar. Wouldn't even know he went in. He just checked himself out of Promises Treatment Center in Malibu, California.
They treat eating disorders?
Well, there's no word on what he went in for, but apparently it was not food. It was some sort of substance abuse because he released a statement yesterday saying, "For my family and myself, I voluntarily took the necessary steps to remain sober the rest of my life." So I'm guessing it was booze. It's unclear how long John was in rehab or when he was released, but he did do some time. He's 55 years old. Of course, probably best known for the sitcom Roseanne, but he's been in a bunch of movies as well, including The Big Lebowski.
Oh, one of the best.
How good is he in that?
He was, for a couple of episodes, the president of the United States of America on The West Wing.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, if you're that fat, how much alcohol do you have to drink to even feel it?
But how much alcohol are you drinking in order to get that fat?
True. This might be
another good question.
Because I was listening to the Psycho Body yesterday, and I found out that alcohol not only is one of the worst poisons you can put in your body, but is filled with empty calories.
Is that what you heard?
That's what I heard.
That guy's bogus.
This guy on the radio told me.
Way bogus.
So maybe he's just boozing up so much that he's all bloated and fat, and maybe if he stops the booze, he'll drop a couple
of pounds. Excellent point.
Yeah.
How great was it for you, Ralph, to do something the last 4 days, and that's change the dial and listen to another show if you want.
You must have been so happy
to not be stuck on the Kevin and Bean show.
You have no idea the freedom that comes with the big boy.
I have no idea
that kind of power.
It's amazing. Love to see Ralph listening to Big Boy.
Oh, I was in the neighborhood.
Sure you were.
Oh, I was hanging. I was ringing the doorbell. I was checking the mail. I was
whatever it is they do.
I was writing out the bills. Whatever they do in the neighborhood there. I was valet parking the cars. It was nuts.
Leaving the kids.
Nuts.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. This is not good news for O.J. Simpson.
Good.
Those two guys, the co-defendants who already copped a plea deal in Nevada, are starting to roll over and testify on the juice.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Apparently, Walter Alexander, one of the co-defendants in the O.J. Simpson sports memorabilia drama, has told police, this according to a transcript of his tape-recorded statement, O.J. said, "Hey, just bring some firearms."
Nice.
He specifically asked them to bring firearms to the meeting with the sports memorabilia dealer that they eventually ended up stealing from. He said, "We won't have to use them, but just to look tough, you know, so these people know that we're here for business." That means, according to Nevada conspiracy law, if he was the one who asked them to bring the firearms, he's the one responsible for what happened.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Wow. The fact, so if they prove that with this testimony, he's in a world of hurt.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Let's try to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm. You're a good guy.
Sure. Bring the guns.
Good guy, Zeus. Rob Zombie, with his recent success of his Halloween remake, has now got a brand new project over at Universal Pictures. They're asking him to remake the Hellraiser movies.
No kidding.
Remember those with Pinhead, the guy with all the nails coming out of his face?
Yeah.
Apparently Rob's going to take on that series next. So
excellent.
He's becoming quite the successful director, Rob Zombie.
Good for him.
Yeah. And we can afford a razor. Speaking of movies, looks like the casting is finally complete for the Star Trek prequel. According to Daily Variety magazine, Chris Pine, who co-starred with Lindsay Lohan in the movie Just My Luck, will be starring as Captain James T. Kirk. Carl Urban, who was in Lord of the Rings, will be playing Dr. McCoy. John Cho.
Hi!
Margaret's brother?
I don't know if they're related or not. Excuse me. But he was in Harold and Kumar.
Okay.
That's where you know John Cho from. He's playing Sulu. Simon Pegg from the zombie movie, the funny British zombie movie. What the hell's the name of it? Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
And also from Hot Fuzz. He'll be playing Scotty. And you know the rest of them. So it looks like the cast is in place for the new Star Trek movie.
That could be good. We talked about this not too long ago. J.J. Abrams, you know, he does not get involved with too many crappy projects. If he's directing this, I'm in.
I know Leonard Nimoy said the script is brilliant.
Fantastic.
So if anybody should know Star Trek, it should be that dude.
Sure.
Yeah.
And our best wishes go out to our pal Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Broke his arm on stage during a concert Sunday night in Melbourne, Australia.
Mike Shinoda posted on the official website that Chester got injured four songs into the set, but finished the show even as his arms swelled up like a balloon.
That's commitment.
That is commitment.
Wow, that rules.
I'd like to know how he broke his arm on stage while playing music.
Yeah. He jumps around a lot. He must have, like,
missed something,
and,
right?
Like, tried to catch himself.
Yes, he was rocking out so hard that his ulna actually shattered. That's how hard he rocks.
Guys don't have ulnas, by the way. That's...
You're thinking of vulvas, Kevin. Yeah. That's different.
Ulna's a bone in the forearm.
Okay, sorry.
Was Kevin joking?
Yeah, I was. He was joking.
All right.
Thank you, B.
Thanks
for the benefit of the doubt.
I really didn't know.
I didn't either. But sometimes Kevin gets that look in his face, and you're not quite
I thought
sure
he was going
happen.
For it sounds like vulva. Let's make the joke.
Yeah, all right. Okay. You say so.
And by the way, having said that, bad joke shouldn't have gone for it.
if we can't tell for sure, then maybe you should rethink your position. I'm running out of time, but I will tell you all stories about Britney Spears. I got some great stories about Britney Spears in the next hour, and also the possibility of a settlement in the Paul McCartney Heather Mills divorce, which will make your head spin. Today's celebrity birthdays: Chuck Berry, the father of rock and roll, is 81 years old today. What should we get Chuck for his birthday? How about a hot Carl? Pam Dauber, Mork. No, she wasn't Mork.
She wasn't Mork.
That's crazy.
She was
Mork or whatever the
she
other
was Mindy.
Person. Oh, yeah. 56 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh.
The Muscles from Brussels is 47 years old today. Aaron Moran, who played Joni on Happy Days, is 46. And Zach Efron is 20 years old.
Excuse me? I didn't catch that last birthday. What was the name of the...
You don't have to gay off every single hour.
Who was the sexy young man that you mentioned was turning 20 today?
Zach Efron. Who, of course, plays Troy Bolton in the High School Musical
and movies. Plays him well.
By the way, I've come to the realization that Bean does not like him. He just likes to torture us. He just says that because he knows it drives us crazy.
Excuse me, he's dreamy. Hello.
And he's trying too hard, right? He's trying too hard to be gay.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
I don't buy it.
I'm going to go listen to Big Boy.
Yeah, me too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
There are certain topics we think are easy targets. Like, everyone will agree with us?
Yeah.
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel, for instance. You can't go wrong calling Chris Angel a douchebag. That's obvious, and if you don't admit that that's true, then you're lying.
that's quantifiable, scientifically.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, Dancing with the Stars is a show where they don't really have stars.
It's a juggernaut.
And they have dancing.
Yes, they do. They do the foxtrot and the tango
and the
pasé
doble
and the waltz.
and every week it's in the top one, two, or three. Every week that show demolishes.
20 million Americans a week are watching this. 20 million Americans a week are tuning in to watch a freaking Spice Girl, Marie Osmond, boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr., a race car driver, a soap star, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. These people dance on television to bad music, and 20 million people a week watch. And the reason I really went off on this yesterday when we were talking about the ratings and how it was, you know, a virtual tie for number one for the week with CSI, is this past Monday night's show, which again will, you know, bear out, it'll be another 20 million, had Wayne Newton, who I guess was on the show and has since been eliminated, he came back to sing Donkashane, which was his hit from about, I don't know, 1961 or something. He came back to sing.
He's a horrible singer now, too.
And Gloria Estefan, who was supposed to be on to sing Rhythm Is Gonna Get You, apparently her mom is sick or something, so she couldn't make the show. So the backup singers on the show on Dancing with the Stars, they sang Rhythm Is Gonna Get You on the show. Now, how is that? It's a horrible song, but at least it was going to be a horrible song sung by the person who originally made it horrible.
Right.
Now you've got background singers singing a 20-year-old Miami Sound Machine song. That's the number one show in America. What's going on? What's happening?
Look, you guys, I watched the show the first two seasons.
Right, and you were bad.
I can tell you that I would fast forward through the crap, but I would watch the rehearsals, and then I would watch how they performed. And judging by the rehearsals, the short amount of time they had to do really complicated dances, It's kind of exciting, and when they pull it off, it's kind of exhilarating. I'm going to compare it to watching sports at times.
Oh, shut up.
No, I would get like overwhelmed. I'm not kidding
Watching sports.
Absolutely. I would get like overwhelmed when people did well. I practically got teary-eyed a couple of times.
No, Lisa.
I am not kidding
There are times when you need to just keep that stuff inside
You're asking the question.
Yes, but the
I'm
answer
the
is a given.
The
answer is a given.
By the way, you talk about the bad songs. What about American Idol? Huge, crappy
of course,
music.
Of course. I hate that show, too, but I'm in the minority there.
Yeah. You're in the minority here, too.
Dancing with the Stars, though. I mean, you can get huge numbers and not have the K-Rock audience.
Like, right,
there could be millions of people watch. And, you know, most of the people listening to this radio station have a different sensibility, and they don't watch that kind of stuff. For some reason, we made people so angry yesterday. They were calling to defend Dancing with the Stars. They were angry enough that they picked up the phone and dialed us and yelled.
And wrote lots of strongly worded emails, too, by the way.
Because they love it.
Well,
and it's not about the music, of course.
It can't be.
It's not.
It can't be about,
it can't be about the Stars.
The pressure of having to do these really complicated dances in front of everyone,
oh,
learning them in a short
God.
Time. It's difficult.
Listen, if you're going to watch a dance show, go with Pants Off, Dance Off. That's the show. Okay?
Well, we thought since we got such reaction yesterday at 1-800, we'd ask you to give us a call and explain to us what we're missing. And the number is 1-800-520-1067. Because Kevin's right. It's not just that people were in disagreement. People were violent about it in the phone calls and emails yesterday. I mean, the phones were burning up with people who said, you guys just don't get it.
And I was
and that's
so
why we're
shocked.
Coming to you and saying, explain it to us then. If we don't get it, what are we missing?
All right. We're going to take the first call, and I'm going to tell you right now, BS, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
Because this is the excuse that every single guy has.
All right.
Bob?
You bet.
Give us your crap.
Guys have it completely wrong. It's the girls on there. These girls are 19, 23, beautiful women, natural, hanging breath. They're just gorgeous.
All right, Bob, I'm going to tell you something. This may shock you. There are hot chicks on other TV shows.
Name me one that's got as beautiful girls as there are on this show. These girls have got their outfits. They're open from their breasts down to their navels, open backs, gorgeous bodies.
Bob, are they dancing?
Who cares if they're dancing or not? We don't want to see them. See them dance. We're
I say you do.
Beautiful women.
I say
but
you
I would
do.
Rather watch a hot chick like the Bionic Woman, for God's sakes, fight crime than I'd have to watch this show and have to wade through Gloria Estefan and Wayne Newton to get to them. It's just it's too high a price to pay for boobs.
Right, exactly.
I can understand the Wayne Newton thing. That had to go. But
what about
now.
Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine?
I don't even think she's on this season. Is she? We've got Marie Osmond this season. What the hell?
Well, we're talking about the entertainment, the stuff that they – see, here's the thing about this show is it's always like 90 minutes long, too, for about 15 minutes of entertainment. And then the rest of it is just all padding. The rest of it is just all interviews and musical guests coming on and singing songs and stuff like that. And it's terrible.
Well,
it's so bad. We deny you totally, Bob.
Raise your hand if you're full of crap.
All right. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Sarah in Fullerton. I guess I could understand chicks liking it more than guys.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. The men on there are beautiful.
The male dancers.
So like, yeah. I love Helio Castroneves, the race car driver, is, like, the hottest guy on there. And then, secondly, I have to agree with Bob on the boobs and the butts on the girls. I mean, it's fabulous. They look so good. And there's sequins. And you guys don't even
watch Wait a minute. One of your selling points was there are sequins.
Raise your hand if you're full of crap.
I will tell you that singers are horrible.
Well, of course they're horrible.
Do you fast forward through some of the filler?
Well, I can't because I watch it like real time because I have to catch every moment.
Because you're too excited about it, Sarah?
I really couldn't do
that. Wow, you're bad.
Sarah, let me ask you this, and I'm glad you called with this because honestly, this is a discussion that we needed to have because clearly we are missing something here in this room. You talk about how attractive the men and the women are, but isn't this show super G-rated? I mean, it's not really sexy, right? Is it?
Oh, it can be.
If you take a look at the outfits, some of them aren't very G-rated. I mean, they're just, the girls are seriously out there with, like, just a little tiny piece of fabric over the boobies and a little tiny piece of fabric over the butt. And, I mean, it's just, the outfits are incredible. The dancing's incredible. I mean, you got Jane Seymour out there that's looking like just a goddess
Jane Seymour is your example.
I love this show.
So now we have sequins and we have Jane Seymour.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Julio, the race car driver.
But you're talking about Jane Seymour. You're talking about people intentionally tuning in to watch a 60-year-old woman dance. Are you even listening to yourself, Sarah? Do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
The Spice Girl, too. She's awesome. I mean, she's so good. And then there's that soap star on there. It's
all good. Sarah, we don't have enough to really say this, but you got to stop listening to our show.
No.
I think.
No,
but
come
I think.
Come on.
Because she said sequins.
You've been uninvited. I'm sorry, Sarah. There's nothing we can do about it. But we're going to send a guy out to take.
All right, thank you.
We're going to send a guy out to take 106.7 FM off your radio. I'm sorry. You're not going to be allowed to tune in.
All right, wait a minute.
Thank you for the call.
Does it help that you watch what?
I watch Pushing Daisies.
Okay.
I love that show.
All right, take that one off, too. Thank you. Bye.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Sarah.
That sounds fine.
He's rough.
Right.
Well, I mean, plenty of calls.
A lot of calls.
Amy,
Glenn, Newport Beach, loves it.
Yeah.
All right.
I
want some time with Glenn when we come back then.
We don't get you people. We just don't get you. 8 o'clock hour, by the way, Ask a Whore.
Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, we're talking about the number one show in America, Dancing with the Stars. Look, I know it's been on for a few seasons, and I know we've made fun of it in the past, but for some reason, yesterday we talked about it for a minute, and we got so much hate that we wanted to kind of investigate that a little bit. Peel back why it is we're so out of step with what you're watching on this one. And give me Glenn here, because I can understand chicks going, oh, it's romantic, and I wish I could dance like that with my man. But what's Glenn's excuse for watching this show? 1-800-520-1067. Glenn, Newport Beach, go ahead.
I got the best excuse in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is why you should watch it, too.
All right.
Two words, and it's why every man watches that show.
All right.
The two words are wardrobe malfunction.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to tell you. You're full of crap, Glenn. Here's two more words. Internet, that's one of them. And porn. That's another one.
Here's another one.
Guaranteed wardrobe malfunctions.
Exactly.
Three words. FCC. They won't let you see an actual wardrobe malfunction.
Well, the first thing is, I'm married and I have a little kid. I've got a little kid, so there's no way I'm getting on the internet to do porn. Okay?
I got you.
Okay.
This is where you can get it.
And 2 years ago, they had a wardrobe malfunction on the show, and one of my buddies is just a regular guy. He's telling me he's watching the show.
And by regular guy, you mean gay?
No, I mean a straight guy that's married.
Sure.
Young guy. Mm-hmm, Latino, right. And I'm going, what the heck is a guy like you watching that show?
You set off the sensors.
That little midget soap opera star, she had to hold up her dress.
See that.
Yeah. I think that's
all I know is that Glenn is talking about watching Dancing with the Stars every week because a friend of his saw a wardrobe malfunction 2 years ago. How desperate is this guy?
He's pretty
desperate.
All right, Glenn. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Danielle in Fullerton because maybe the celebrity angle is what is driving some people. And I don't understand because none of these are celebrities that are really that big or that most people would be very excited to see. That's what I don't get. Danielle, what are we missing on the celebrity angle of this?
Well, that's totally true. It's not like I started watching the show because I love Jane Seymour. But you have to forget like the Jane Seymour of like the Medicine Woman and remember the cougar that was in like Wedding Crashers. So beautiful in these like costumes, and she's 56 years old.
But Danielle, you don't have to do either of those. You could also choose to not watch her.
But it's so entertaining because you see these people, and like even that little like chubby blonde girl from the Cheetah Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I hated her because I hate the Cheetah Girls. But then I watched her, and she like kicked ass on this show doing all these like crazy things, and I'm like, wow, how'd you get so fast? How'd you get so good at dancing with that belly? But it's like really super entertaining.
Danielle, let me ask you this, because it just occurred to me, thanks to K-Rock listener Dominic, who wrote in, that So You Think You Can Dance, which is a Fox dance show that's on in the summertime, was also the number one rated show every week when it was on, too. And that doesn't even have celebrities, I don't think. I've never seen it. But did you watch that one, too?
No, I didn't watch that one. I just saw commercials and where like people fall on their face. That's kind of entertaining, but I didn't watch that one.
So you watched this one because of the huge celebrities like Jane Seymour.
No, see, I told you they're not huge, but you like to see because they're not huge, it makes it more maybe a little bit more relatable, and you can see how they struggle, and then they come out and they do well, and you're like, oh yeah, you can cheer. Like Lisa said, it's kind of like sports. You know, you
no, it's
under-
not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like sports.
It's totally like sports.
It's ballroom dancing. That's not a sport.
Yes, it is.
It's not a sport. It isn't a sport. It's like billiards is a sport.
It takes real athletic ability
Whatever.
To do these dances.
Oh, for God's sakes, I'm just disgusted with you all.
All right. I think not only can Danielle not listen to the show, I don't think I can listen to the show anymore
what
as a result
hell?
Of this conversation.
Here's another word for you. Univision. Telemundo.
Yeah.
The
great
Hills.
Choices.
Any
great
rap choices. Videos. These all have scantily clad women. You don't have to watch them doing ballroom dancing.
So the motto of the story is to stop it? Is that the message
stop
here?
Stop it. And if you really, really are angry, bean at krock.com.
Thank God we have experts, Kevin, to invite on this program, because every time we try to explain a complicated issue, we just make it worse. We just confuse people.
Well, what you're about to hear is an explanation why there's going to be more shows like Dancing with the Stars.
That's true.
In the near future.
It looks like we're about to live in a reality TV world. There is a looming writer's strike. The deal between the studios that make the television shows and the movies and the people who write them expires on Halloween. And although they've been in negotiations since July, so far neither side is willing to give enough in order to sign a new deal. So we thought, this is a big deal in this town, because not only, you know, it's not only bad for us, the viewer, when shows don't get made, but it puts hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people out of work. Makeup people, carpenter people, drivers, lots of people. It really hurts the economy in a strike like this. So we thought, we happen to know a guy who knows something about this. His name is Richard Walter. We've had him on the program before. He is a screenwriting chairman of UCLA's School of Film, and he's been in the Writers Guild for more than 20 years. Richard, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Happy to be here.
So October 31st, that's the drop-dead date. What happens if no arrangement is reached by then? What happens on November 1st in this town?
Well, there'll be tricks instead of treats. Shows will, the writers will go on strike. Immediately the live shows, like Leno and, O'Brien and so on are going to, be in best of and reruns and stuff like that.
So all the late night shows will be in reruns because they won't have any writers?
They won't have writers. If they, one or another of them might pretend to try to struggle along without writers, but I think that's unlikely. The regular shows and movies won't be affected immediately. They've stockpiled. There's always material in the tube, so that doesn't get affected immediately. When the actors come up, their contract comes up in the spring, the directors come up as well at that time. When they go out, if they go out, of course, then everything stops instantaneously.
So let me see if I got this straight. The writers might strike at the end of this month. The actors and directors might strike in the spring.
Correct.
Okay. What is everyone fighting over? I know it's money, but what?
Well, everybody's fighting over really six things. Number one is DVDs. The contract for DVDs was written 20 years ago when DVDs really meant hardly anything at all. And now DVDs are bigger than the movies. You know, the movie release, the theatrical release now for a movie is really just a promotion and advertisement for the DVD.
Oh, I see.
When Shrek came out on DVD, just as an example, and that's already several years ago, revenues for the first weekend of the DVD sale, now we're talking about, the first weekend, $200 million. Much more than the movie did, not only its opening weekend, but...
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that no matter how big the movie is, more people will see that film on DVD than ever see it in the theater.
And now people watch TV shows on DVDs, too.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And the writers and the directors and the actors share from each DVD sale. Now, DVD sales, DVDs retail it at $40 and $60 and $80. The writers and the directors and the actors share 20 cents. The writers get 8 cents, and management is offering nothing above that. They don't want to touch that.
Yeah.
So it's just not acceptable. Then there's also reality. Reality, they claim, isn't written at all. That's just nonsense. Shows are structured. There's material written for the contestants and for the hosts to speak. The whole thing is planned. That's what a screenplay is. That's what a teleplay is. It's a plan. And they are not organized at all. There's internet, there's cable, there's animation, and there's new media. There's mobisodes, shows shown on cell phones.
Right.
There's characters used in interactive, for example. All of these things are absolutely free right now. The writers get nothing.
Let me stop you right there, Richard. That is, I mean, when you put it that way, and of course you're hearing from the writer's perspective here, I mean, it does sound like, you know, some real revamping needs to go into that contract. But as an example, you talk about the stuff that people see on the internet. Let's say, like right now, NBC is offering a lot of their new shows for free on their website. So if you miss Friday Night Lights this Friday on NBC, you can go to the website and watch it for free. The writer gets nothing by the fact that that is offered to the viewer for free, right?
That's exactly right. The writer gets exactly what Kevin and Bean get. Zilch.
Excellent.
What does NBC get when they offer a free episode on their website?
Well, they're hoping for advertising revenue, and all the writers are asking for is a percentage of whatever there is. Management claims, well, there's nothing there. Well, if there's nothing there, we'll take a percentage of nothing there.
Right.
If there's just a little bit there, we'll get just a little bit. If there's more, we'll get more. What's wrong with that?
Now, if you were representing them, what would their answer be to what you just said?
Well, their answers, I'm not representing them, but I know their answers. Their answers are the same they were 20 years ago. This is new. Let's see how it works. Let's study it. We need to develop a business model. It's all a lot of nonsense. You know, the real creative writing that goes on in Hollywood, I think, is by the
by the accountants.
Yeah, exactly. The accountants who work the books and the spokespeople who come out with statements like that.
Yeah.
Again, while they're developing a business model, if there's only a trickle, which is the word they use, of revenue, so let's have just a fraction, 2.5% of that trickle. It just seems to preeminently to be sensible, and yet they stand hard against it.
This is Professor Richard Walter you're hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. He is the screenwriting chairman of the UCLA School of Film and a member of the Writers Guild for over 20 years. We're talking about the pending writer's strike happening at the end of this month, and it sounds like the sides are pretty far apart, Richard. If you had to guess, and of course no one will hold you to this, I mean, how long would a strike like this go on before people realize they have to go back to work?
Let me give you my worst-case scenario and my best-case scenario, and then I'll tell you what I'm predicting.
Right.
But a prediction is just a guess. You know, even an educated guess is just a guess.
Right.
And I think it's a scenario is an appropriate metaphor because we're talking about scenarios, screenplays here and teleplays. In the worst case, everybody's going to go out for a year, I think, or maybe even worse than that. If management is really trying to just smash the unions, which is foolish, it'll never work. It'll just cause bloodshed. You know, it's the biggest business, entertainment, the biggest business in the state of California, which is the biggest state. I don't have to tell
you,
and it's the biggest export in the country. It's the largest contributor to the favorable reduction of the trade deficit. My best scenario is that it doesn't seem realistic to imagine that they're going to settle before Halloween. Although, you know, we can hope and pray. More likely, as the actors' deadline approaches, they will, in the interim, have cut a deal either with the directors or the actors, which may become a template for you know, for all of the talent guilds, including the writers. That I think is you know, more optimistic, and frankly, what I predict is most likely to happen.
Hey, let me ask you this, Richard. Do you have to be a member of the Writers Guild to write for television, or could people come up out of the woodwork that go, hey, I'm not in that union, here's my script?
Well, let me say unequivocally, yes and no. The anybody who does that the way you described it is just scabbing, and that's no way to start a career. Indeed, we'll get calls at UCLA. I'll get calls, I'm sure, from producers and networks and production companies saying what wonderful opportunities there is. You know, there are writers in this, and I can't tell you on radio what my answer to them will be. It'll cost you too much. You'll hear from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
But no, anybody who you do not need to be a member of the Writers Guild to begin. If a producer wants to buy your material, you need to join the guild, but the guild will immediately let you in. This is not quite the same case as with the Directors Guild, as with the Actors Guild, where you need to qualify and you have to come up with various kinds of criteria. Anybody who has an offer from a signatory company, a company that signed the agreement with the guild, will be admitted into the guild. Yeah, the guild will want their initiation fee and they'll want dues and stuff like that, but no one will be turned away. And, of course, anybody who is hired will be able to pay that because they've been hired.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. We have a couple of calls on hold. We don't have much time, but representing the other side, Dave in Santa Monica says, why should writers get paid over and over?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. That's the principle of residuals, isn't it? And the answer is because that's the nature of intellectual property. Where actors and writers and directors have the opportunity without residuals of watching themselves put themselves out of work. They're sitting home, out of work, watching old material that they created a long time ago be reprocessed and reused and so on. Before there were residuals, the writers of the Lucy show, Madeline Pugh Davis, and I'm ashamed to say I can't remember the name of her writing partner, they never got any residuals. Those shows have been shown literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of times. They've gotten literally pennies per episode or per use of that.
Wow.
You'd make more money in a job where you say you want fries with that,
right,
then these guys got. So, you know, if your show, if the Kevin and Bean show is recorded on cassettes or DVDs, CDs, and distributed abroad, you should get a piece of that action.
Like anyone would do that. All right.
Yeah. We're
no
barely
argument,
on live.
No argument to
say, exactly. All right. We are out of time. Obviously, this is a subject we'll be going back to in the weeks and hopefully not, but maybe months to come. But Professor Richard Walter, screenwriting chairman of the UCLA School of Film, in the Writers Guild for more than 20 years. We always enjoy your perspective
thank
on
you.
What's happening. And thank you for coming on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Whore. No, not yet. Not yet. Coming up after the news at 8, it's Ask a Whore on K-Rock right now. KRQ-FM passing to Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's happening, Ralph?
I don't know if they like being called whores.
Well, that'll be one of our questions.
That'll be our first question.
Yeah. You might want to straighten that one right out.
But we have a giant like a theme song, an intro, and all that
I'm sure you do.
Stuff.
I'm sure it's great, too.
Based
I can't wait
on
to hear
whore.
It. But I'm guessing they prefer the term, you know, working girl, escort, call girl.
Hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Tramp?
It's going to change everything.
Tramp, I'm pretty sure, is on the list of things they prefer not to be called.
Meat for money?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
You guys had a promotion like that once, didn't you? Meat for money, didn't you?
I think we did, yeah.
Very bad.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Looks like that Paul McCartney-Heather Mills divorce may be settled. That's the latest word from the London Mirror tabloid. Apparently, Heather is close to accepting a deal that Sir Paul's lawyers are making to her for $50 million.
Ow.
This has been going on all week. They said $150 million, then they said $100 million, then they said she turned it down because she couldn't talk about him.
Well, that was my second point. Apparently the only real hurdle still yet to be overcome in this settlement is the fact that there is a gag order preventing Heather from spilling her guts to the press about her marriage to the ex-Beatle. What is her not to write some BS tell-all book, which is her side, and she slags him off, so she doesn't want...
She gets $50 million or $100 million. That's not enough for you, woman. That's it.
I know.
That's it. For million, 4 years.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your trap.
For $50 million.
I would marry Paul McCartney for 4 years for $50 million.
Absolutely.
And not write a book.
And I'm not lopsided.
I got two good wheels.
I got both of my wheels. I got both of my girders, my sticks, my pins. You three-quarter whore. God, I hate her.
Yeah, she's hateable.
I don't know the woman, but I hate her a lot. Well, everyone's weighing in on their opinion of Britney Spears, including Oscar winner Ben Kingsley.
Oh, good.
Here's the thing. Ben has a sense of humor. You know, I know he's a sir and all that kind of stuff, but he's actually a very funny sort of down-to-earth guy.
Right.
And so someone asked him what he thought of the Britney Spears situation. And I'm glad some celebrity finally said, this is a ridiculous question. Why are you asking me this? I have nothing of value to offer.
Yeah, instead of answering it like it's a real question.
Right.
Yeah.
That's I feel sorry for her. So Ben answered ironically by saying, she's a role model, an inspiration. And my mantra every morning is to sing Gimme More. So I guess he put that reporter in his place.
Did you see the picture of Sir Ben Kingsley on TMZ.com?
I have not,
it
sir.
It is a dead ringer for the Armenian comedian.
Really?
You would look at it and go, why is Sam on there? Poor guy.
Maybe he's preparing to play Sam in a motion picture. I think there is.
In that high movie or whatever it was?
Get High or Go High or Go High.
Born High.
Go High or Go Home or whatever it was called.
Hang 'em High.
Born High. Yeah, that's good.
By the way, Sam is so good to never talk to us again. When he does make it big and Ben Kingsley is portraying him in a movie, he becomes an international superstar. He's going to so like shut us out in revenge for all the mean things we've said to him over the years.
I will pay $50 million. To sit in the meeting between Ben Kingsley and Sandra Mooney as they're doing research for that film.
Mary King's seen Sopranos when they were trying to get him to star in Cleaver. That movie that Chris Cooper was making. He's sitting by the pool and he's just like not interested
he's
whatsoever.
He's very funny.
He's very funny.
He is.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Chuck Berry. Really the father of rock and roll. This guy, if you don't know him, you've probably heard Johnny Be Good or any of his legendary famous songs. But the whole rock guitar riff, the whole thing, I mean, it all goes back to Chuck. He's still playing music at 81 years old.
Can't be good.
It can't be good because he's 81?
No.
He still rocks on the guitar.
Does he?
Yeah.
Can he sing?
He doesn't do that duck walk thing anymore, I don't think. I think his knees would give out and explode
fall
or something.
Yeah.
But,
you know, Les Paul, the inventor of the electric guitar, is still playing into his 90s and is still very, very good.
There you go.
Is he singing?
No, he doesn't sing.
Oh,
he
plays guitar. Chuck wasn't really known as a singer either. He was more of a performer. Still getting paid in just buckets of cash. They just bring out a paper bag full of 20s or
won't
something.
Won't take
to
him a check.
Will not take a check.
That's awesome.
For his entire career, has never accepted a check in payment. Must bring a briefcase full of money backstage and hand it to him.
That's the best.
And he has no manager, nobody, by the way, no keepers. He just shows up.
Nope.
You hand him the suitcase full of money. He goes out and does his thing on stage, and then he leaves. That's how he rolls.
Much like our next guest.
Good point.
Well, Chuck entertains you for a lot longer, probably.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Pam Dauber from Working Middies, 56 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
The Muscles from Brussels is 47 years old today. Zac Efron is 20. And
excuse me? Wait, today's Zac's birthday?
Yeah, Zac Efron from High School Musical is 20 years old.
Hey, I'm gonna act gay, but I'm gonna act real gay. That's me, I'm me.
How do you know he's not gay?
That's me.
Why are you so sure he's not gay?
Because he comes at it with the same attitude that he does of heterosexual sex, which is a guy looking out from the inside trying to figure out what it's like.
Oh, do you think he's just asexual?
He's neither.
You think he's sort of like a worm?
I don't think the plumbing has worked in years.
Maybe like an earthworm. He just Fs himself. He just circles around. makes a big circle and just has both genitalia and just Fs himself.
I don't think any of it has worked. His whole life.
I wish we knew him so we could ask him.
Yeah.
He has it right here.
Whatever happened to him,
by the way? He wouldn't ask the truth anyway.
I'm right here, guys. I'm still on the show.
Yeah.
Ralph, you've had the occasion. You had the occasional man crush in your day. You know what it's like. There's just a guy that you just think he's an awesome
Ralph,
dude that you'd like to hang out
Ralph
with.
Ralph has never made this noise. Ever.
Yeah. For any reason. Male or female.
Ever.
Yeah. And my man crushes take the form of, I'd like to get drunk with that dude and laugh with him and play poker.
George Clooney, for example.
Exactly.
And Ralph's man crushes take the form of a man.
That's true.
not a guy who's turning 20 today and looks like he's in the Boy Scouts.
Not a prepubescent, glistening, silky, smooth-skinned Thai boy.
When he takes his shirt off on the beach in those pictures in Hawaii, though, even you have to admit it's pretty impressive.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, no, there's no pictures for you, Rodney. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A couple of days ago, we were talking about sex addiction. There were some celebrities in the news that had that, and we took some calls from our listeners. It was a fascinating hour, and we all fell very deeply in love with one young woman who called us on the phone named Lily. And when we found out that she loved sex so much, she decided to make it her job. We said, we need to get us a piece of that, A, and B, we need to have you come in for Ask a Whore, which is the latest in our continuing series. Ladies and gentlemen, Lily on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
Joining us here in the studio at K-Rock. Good morning, Lily. How are you?
Oh, are you guys ready for me? I was just relaxing.
Oh, there we go.
See what she's doing there?
She brought her pet and stand-up act as well. All right. You just talk right into that microphone. You don't have to lick it or anything. Just talk right into it. We got to start with, first of all, welcome to the show. It's great to meet you in person. Ralph suggested when we promoted that you would be coming up after the news that maybe whore was not a word that would make you happy. So we kind of wanted to start with that because we've been promoting this segment as Ask a Whore. How does that set with you?
Well, I think most people that would have problem with a moralistic, view of that, I don't.
Fantastic. So we have a theme song then.
Ask a whore, bitch. Where is that whore? I get paid to have lots of sex with men. One of my best customers is Kevin.
Hey.
When I'm done, I'll leave you asking for more. It's time to ask a whore. 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 Ask a whore.
1-800-520-1067. If you've always had a question for a prostitute, today is your day on the Kevin and Bean Show, the latest in our continuing series. Yes.
Hold on one second, please.
If you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. I just think we need to say that up front.
Absolutely.
Now, a little bit of a background
due to some
on
graphic
you.
And mature content. Parental discretion is advised.
Okay, I think we've established that. I think ask a whore is all you need to say to give parents the heads up on this particular one, Kevin. This one isn't going to surprise them by the content, all right?
It's got to be safe, you know.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Lily, who touched you? Was it a family member or was it somebody outside the home that touched you when you were young that led you to this this life of prostitution?
Well, I can't talk before 14, but my first real experience was about 14.
Now, when Bean says that, the popular consensus for a lot of people is you wouldn't go into that unless you've been hurt somewhere along the way. Well, is that true or not true?
My daddy says I'm the best kisser.
Okay, there you go.
See?
Excellent.
All right, we are going to require some straight answers, Lily, because we really are trying to learn. What do you think?
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Do you think that some women go into this lifestyle because of some sort of problems in their childhood, some sort of low self-esteem or whatnot?
Yes, I do.
And how about you? What do you think made, I mean, was it what you told us the other day? Just do you love sex?
Yes, it really is. It's more of a hobby than anything else.
It's a hobby?
Yes.
But you have so you have another job, a full-time job?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, part-time job. They're all part-time,
They're all
baby.
Part-time, baby. Yeah. What is the other one? Can you tell us what you do for the other, at least the industry?
I consult for doctors. My specialty is collections and people that are opening or closing their businesses. I go in there and...
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Break their knees.
Completely unrelated.
That?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How about that? So when you say it's a part-time, you say it's a hobby. How many days a week do you hook also?
Every chance I get.
Well, I mean, ask a whore, ask a whore, ask a whore. I mean, is it one night a week? Is it four nights a week? What does it usually average out to?
I take calls 6 days a week.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that mean you work 6 days a week and you see a client 6 days a week?
Yes, Monday through Saturday. And sometimes on Sunday for body worship.
For body worship.
And how do people find you? Are you Craigslist? Are you in the LA Weekly? Or what do you do?
I cruise construction sites. And
okay,
I pass
good.
Out business cards. And,
oh, wait. Are you serious
I'm
about
around.
That?
Oh, are you kidding?
No, I'm asking.
They
you,
have
serious?
Jobs and lots of money, yes. And they're very stressful.
No kidding.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny because everybody else thinks about construction crews. If a girl's walking by, they're whistling. The girl's like, I'll stop it. You go right there and say, hey, everyone.
Oh, I start like, hey, you with the good butt, come over here.
Well, right
wow.
Then.
All right.
Now, it sounds like you enjoy it still. How long have you been doing it?
Sex in general? Or?
No. How long have you been a professional woman?
Just recently, again, about a year. But I did it a few years ago, and then I stopped.
Why did you
really?
Stop?
Yeah.
Why'd you stop? Why'd you start?
Well, my other business was – I was doing very well, mm-hmm. and it was kind of hard to leave and go back and forth.
Right.
So.
Why'd you start again? Business not doing so well?
No, actually, my car needed some work. I wanted to fix up my car. And,
I got you.
You know, different
okay.
things.
Okay. So. What did you do about your sex addiction needs when you weren't hooking? Did you have a boyfriend at that time?
Yes, I was married for 22 years.
Recently no kidding.
Separated. Yeah.
Wow. So did you do this?
I was a keeper.
Did you do this while you were married?
No.
You did not. Okay.
No. Well, with my husband, but I wasn't hooking. I would bring girls home for him.
Oh yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, let me explain that real
Listen,
quick.
No, that's fine.
No, real
what
quick.
What kind of explanation do you need?
I had a wonderful promiscuous sex life when I was younger. I really did, and uh-huh. you know, clean and safe and all that. Knock on some wood before I go around here. And my husband, I was only the second girl he had ever slept with. He was a real hard worker, groovy dude. And I just wanted to do things, you know, share certain things and reward
Spend
him.
His horizons.
Yeah. So, you know, Father's Day, birthday, stuff like that.
I got you.
Wow.
Okay. We have so many great calls on hold, and we're going to be take as many as we can at 1-800-520-1067. But since you brought up bringing women home, do you have any clients that are women, or do you do men only?
No, I do have clients that are women.
That's fantastic. you're the
hey,
best.
They get stressed out, too. They need stress
sure.
management.
I find it funny that there's no follow-up question to that. It's just that's great.
Well, why would a woman have to pay you when she's a woman and she could go someplace else and get it for free?
Okay, a lot of corporate women out there. They don't have time for relationships. They don't have time to cruise bars and so forth. And, you know, it's the same thing with a guy. You think everybody's gold digging you and so forth. So they just want some relaxation, a little kissy-huggy time without all the BS attached to it.
Now, are they generally gay or they're just looking for some satisfaction?
50-50.
Yeah.
Interesting. So part of the lure to come to a hooker is just no strings attached. It's just, you know, like they say, you don't pay her for sex, you pay her to leave. I mean, that really, that is true, right?
It is, except for most of my clients never want to leave.
Oh, I see how that works.
Well, I'm not one of those girls that like, wham, bam, okay, get the heck out. You know, we talk, we laugh, and it really is like a GFE experience.
Okay. GFE.
Girlfriend experience.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. See, we're new to the terminology here, Lily. All right.
I got
to take
a whole list of stuff for you.
Fantastic.
Well, I look forward to that. All right. Here's the deal. Lily is here for the next few minutes for the latest in our segment of continuing higher education on the Kevin and Bean Show. This one's called Ask a Whore.
Ask a whore.
1-800-520-1067. Your questions for our guest right after this on the World Family.
The following conversation may contain dialogue of a sexual nature, violence, or bestiality.
All right, well.
It may also include content unsuitable for any human being, including talk of a dirty Sanchez, hot Carl, a Cleveland steamer, or a donkey punch.
Okay.
Parental discretion is advised.
Just we got to cover our bases.
I hope we're not getting into those areas, all right? It's 1-800-520-1067. If you're just joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, we're doing the latest in our continuing series of higher education. We did Ask a Mexican. We did Ask a Cop. We did Ask a Black. I think, by the way, next week on the show, Kevin, we finally lined up Ask a Muslim.
That's correct.
I think we got a guy coming in with your Muslim questions.
But that's not going to be anywhere near as good as this.
No, it's not. Today, it's a great one. We got all your calls to get to right now on Ask a Whore.
Ask a Whore.
I know you might not be able to tell by the title of this feature, but if you do have small children, this might not be the conversation for them.
Our guest is Lily in the studio. She is a professional working girl who's going to take your questions. Let's start with Maria. She's calling us from the LBC. She's down there, I think, on line 7. Maria, you're our first question for Ask a Whore. You're on with Lily. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. My question is, how many cute guys do you actually get calling you for service? Because I guess I just imagine, you know, ugly fat guys calling you to sleep with you. Because, I would think cute guys can get it for free. So how many good-looking guys do you actually get?
A lot. I'm quite amazed.
It's not because they can't get sex, obviously. It's because they don't want ties. Is that the whole thing?
They need extracurricular exercise.
A lot of them married.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of them are married.
But let me add to Maria's question, and thank you so much for the call. Are there guys that walk through the door that you go, I'm not getting paid enough to be with this dude?
Oh, there's got
to
be those.
They're way fat or they're way smelly or something like that. You're just not into it. I mean, do you just be a good girl and just fake it, or do you turn them away?
No, I'm a good girl. I have a heart. Oh, yeah. I'm truly the kind of girl that I don't really care what you look like. It's all about how you treat me.
Okay, but haven't you once said, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number?
get your butt up and go take a shower.
What house are you looking for? This is not the right one. All right.
And that's something you can do, by the way, depending on where you meet them, right, you can force them into the bath first, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Force them into the bath. All right. Mike in Norwalk. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Well, I wanted to know if she ever gets attached. Is she ever freebies going out, like buy one, get one free going on?
Oh, interesting. You start with a customer, but then you start kind of seeing them on the side for fun.
Right.
Without getting paid.
Exactly.
I have dated a few clients, and as long as they take me somewhere really nice, you know, come on, guys, you pay for it one way or another, let's be honest.
That's true. That's
come on,
a good
who
point.
Are you fooling?
That's a good
it's either
point.
Dinner or cash, right?
One or the other. All right.
But I would imagine you have some regular customers that you've been seeing for a long time, Lily?
Yes. And every once in a while, I give a free birthday pop.
Oh, look at that.
So
how about,
nice.
About that? That is nice.
Let's go to Randolph in San Diego. Good morning, Randolph.
Where the hoe at? Hey, baby.
Did you say where to hoe at?
Where to hoe at?
Is what like
well, right here on the phone. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Corn Dog.
You need to get your ass feet sized and stop making me that money, number one. I got two questions. Right. Okay, the first, it's a twofold question. The first is, do you take the money shot? And if so, how often?
Yeah.
And then the second question is, what's your favorite type of guy? Do you like black guys, Asian guys, what? What's your description of your best customer?
Right. Let's ignore the first question and just concentrate on the second.
We have to.
I agree.
Favorite type of customer?
My favorite type of customer, I actually like older guys.
Older guys?
Yes. I've got this thing for mature dudes.
Okay. Why
do
is that?
Do they tend to be kinder? Or?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Or have more money or whatever?
Well, I find that there are young guys out there that, you know, are into the girl, but mostly they're just into themselves, you know.
Oh, I see.
And the older guys, they're just, you know, they're all about pleasing me.
Mm. Wow. And they pay you.
That's interesting to me. That's interesting to me because I'm trying to think of the mindset of a customer, a guy who would come to you. It seems like he would be wanting to pay for his pleasure. But you're telling me that some of your customers, at least, are really interested in how much you enjoy it.
Well, I'm a specialty item in more than one way. But one is that I really enjoy what I do, and I don't fake it. Because if you're not doing your job, I will pull out my little pocket rocket.
Really?
Yes.
You'll make it happen.
Okay, right. Just a minute. This isn't working for me. Billy in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey.
Hi there. What's your question?
Well, I'd like to ask if she's ever been stopped by the police or been caught.
Ever been caught by the police?
No, sir.
Interesting. All right. It seems like, I mean, especially since you've got such an outgoing personality and you're willing to come on the radio, that it seems like maybe at some point along the way you would have said something to the wrong person and that would have come back to bite you, but not so far, huh?
Well, because I have a professional job on the outside, mm-hmm. I know customer service and different things, what to say, what not to say.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they're very leading. They twist things around and, you know, they're just doing their job. They're just everyday guys.
Okay. We've got some great questions on hold, and this is such a popular topic. I think we need to spill over into the next break if you have the time, Lily. Can you stick around for one more?
I sure can.
All right. Ask a whore. We should probably start with...
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Kids have got to learn it somewhere, Kevin. They might as well learn it from the Kevin and Bean Show. We're doing Ask a Whore today. Ask a whore. And the beautiful Lily is in the studio with us here this morning, getting a lot of emails saying you guys have to put up a picture at KROQ.com. Well, obviously we can't do that because we can't reveal Lily's identity. But trust me, she's worth whatever she's charging. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's get as many questions in our final segment as we can. Why don't we start with Jake? Because we haven't really talked about this aspect of the business. Jake, Hermosa Beach, you're on the air. Ask a whore. Go ahead.
Good morning, Lily. I have a question for you. Before I trek to the local construction site to find you, I'm curious. I was curious if you had a pimp or somebody that handles anything along those lines.
Absolutely.
Yeah, on TV, all the girls have pimps.
Not I.
None. Okay.
Nope. She's her own business.
You handle all business yourself? I mean, what happens if some guy treats you wrong? Who's going to have your back?
I beat the crap out of him.
She'll kick their ass, yeah. I think that's the answer right there.
Why is that? Is it because you just don't want to give up a percentage of your earnings to somebody else? Is that why?
No, because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm smart.
No, there
Doesn't
you go.
Need him.
Okay,
let's go to Ricardo, who's calling from Long Beach. Good morning, Ricardo.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering, have you ever been stalked by any of your clients?
Oh, has that ever turned ugly like that?
No,
not really.
No,
no.
I had someone come in acting a little funky, but I kicked him out.
You don't sound like you take any crap. I like that.
Sixth sense about that.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Let's go to Johnny in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, what's going on?
Ask a whore.
I had a quick question. I was wondering, all this talk about, like, you have the clients have wives and all this. You never had no, like, clients' wives, like, go off cycle and look for you or something, like, ever found out?
Actually, I did have two women call me and ask me why their husband was repeatedly on the cell phone bill.
Oh, really?
My number was on their cell phone bill, yeah.
And what
do
you say? You can't admit it, right?
I said, my husband does car alarms, and he probably was asking a question about that. And
nice.
They're like, oh, okay.
Well done. Well done.
You're good.
Is yours a cash-only business, Lily?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you take a check?
Actually,
MasterCard?
There are two corporate people I do take company checks from.
Kevin, there are businesses that will accept credit cards and then put an innocuous name on the bill. I was wondering if sometimes that might lead to a spouse asking questions, but it sounds like just the cell phone number is all you have to worry about, so that's good. I don't think we've talked about cost, by the way. Now, do you have some sort of a tiered pricing plan depending on what it is you want to buy, or is it one price for all you can eat, or what's the deal?
Dude, she doesn't charge. That would be illegal.
Well, I'm saying hypothetically.
I take gifts.
Gifts?
You take gifts, right.
Okay.
Okay.
But is it an expensive evening?
No, actually, I'm relatively economical compared to some girls.
Okay.
And more than others.
All right. Let's go to Jill in Orange. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Well, I had a question, and I wanted to know, in her opinion, do you think it's a bad idea that I let my husband go see, let's see, Full Service Girls?
That you're okay with your husband doing it?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, sweetie. Why don't you join in? Why are you letting him have
a fun? Actually have.
Oh, cool.
I don't always. It's just once in a while. However, mostly he goes by himself.
I think that that's really smart of you. The reason why is because if your man isn't exercising one way, he's going to be having affairs and doing all
that's
kinds
not,
of other
that's
stuff
what I figured I did,
that will
I did
separate
think on
you
it.
Guys.
Hmm. All right, you rule. Thank you.
Hey, let's go down to Manhattan Beach. Line 8, Josh is on the line. I'm sure a lot of people have been waiting for this question to come up. Josh, good morning. Ask a Whore with Lily. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
My question is, do whores have limits as far as things that they'll let the clients do?
Yes, but we can't talk about them. That's one of the questions we asked off the air.
All the stuff you think, oh, I don't think anyone, you're right.
Although fewer with Lily than I thought. Yeah. Psycho Mike, you have a question?
I have a question. Do you ever get guys come and pay for your services that are not sexual? Do they ever ask to just maybe talk or anything, you know?
Yes, I do.
Anything
know.
That's just not sexual?
Yes, I
are
do.
Any of them named Psycho Mike?
Not as cute as him.
So just
what
talk?
Do they want? What do they want, Lily? Just to sit on the couch and watch Dancing with the Stars with you?
Well, a lot. Some of it's role playing that's non-sexual, you mm-hmm. know, pretending to be certain things and so forth. But yeah, some guys they just want to chill and talk, and you know, because I'm real down to earth and so forth. So
in a diaper, mm-hmm. they like to wear a diaper and yeah. play.
I've done that role before.
Play. Have you? God,
because of the town we're in, have you? And I won't ask you to name a name, but have you ever had celebrities that have taken your services?
Yes, and not like celebrities, but I do have recognizable faces because I'm, you know, I do have a life outside mm-hmm. of. My hobby.
Right.
Uh-huh. So there's no way in heck you're going to find me anywhere on the tablets going, oh, yeah, I did him.
Right.
Certainly.
Not
yeah,
going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah.
I didn't promise I wouldn't ask names. Can you tell us names? No?
Right. Kevin and Bean.
Hey, there.
And here's a question
not
that's
together,
kind,
though,
of,
are we?
Kind of related to
only
the limits you were talking about. Joanna writes in and wants to know, I hear that hookers will not kiss on the mouth. Please ask your guest. Is that a no-no or is that okay?
For my regulars, I do.
Okay.
Why is that?
If I've seen him a few times.
No, why, how come that question is asked? Do most don't or something?
Well, first of all, it's very intimate. Believe it or not, that is more intimate than the actual act itself.
Really?
And also diseases. I mean, you can catch tuberculosis, you know, different things, so.
Herpes, gotcha. A lot of things transmitted through the mouth. Have you ever fallen for a client? You talked about how you've grown fond of them. Has it ever gone even beyond that where you've really, really wanted to date them?
Yes, but I don't act on it because I'm professional.
We don't have time to take more calls, but Chris in Compton wants to know if you ever consult wives. Do you ever teach wives, help wives understand why their men are doing that? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There are some wives out there that aren't into certain things that their men want to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do that.
Okay. And finally, again, we're out of time, but Rochelle from Huntington Beach wants to know, how do you protect against STDs?
Full body condoms.
Just stand
100%.
I mean, is there a questionnaire that has to be filled out? Do they ask you questions? Do you ask them questions? I mean, what's involved?
General common sense. I jimmy up everybody. I do not bear back anything. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, one thing I did want to talk about, a lot of men don't realize that if you're barebacking a job, mm-hmm. oral debates, some women bleed a little bit on their gums right before the menstrual cycle.
Oh.
So if you're not being smart and you don't know a lot of guys say, oh, I can't get it doing that. I can't
right.
get AIDS. I can't get
right. Right.
It's not
so
true.
You can.
Yes, you can.
Oh, so thanks for bringing this down, man. Thanks for ending on a down note.
It's good to know.
That's a
no,
good
we
tip.
We appreciate that.
If people think that they can't, that's a good tip.
And I have gifts for you guys for having me on today.
Oh,
you do?
I have something for Psycho Mike.
All right. What's that?
A hard body.
That's a sexy man.
It looks like
chiseled ass.
It looks like Chris Angel's chest.
And then I brought lollipop condoms for all you guys.
Aww. Lollipop condoms.
Oh, very nice.
That's so sweet.
Well, guys, is this the best hooker that's ever been on the Kevin and Bean Show? Let's hear it for Lily. Come on. I mean, we've known of. you are a tremendous asset to the community. We didn't even have to get time to get into how absurd it is that prostitution is illegal in this country, but maybe we'll handle that out another time. But Lily, please keep in touch, and thanks a lot for coming in. We've really enjoyed it today.
Thank you, everybody. I had a blast.
And I'd like to end with the great chef from South Park.
But a prostitute is someone who would love you no matter who you are, what you look like. Yes, it's true, children. That's not why you pay a prostitute. No, you don't pay for her to stay. You pay her to leave afterward. That's why I praise the Lord for prostitutes. Prostitutes.
Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. LaQuisha, straight ahead after the news. What's going on, Rob?
Yeah, I know you guys are going to talk to LaQuisha and how much she loves the reality TV. So I wanted to mention a casting call that's being had for a new reality TV show. Perhaps some of our listeners would like to get involved. It's going to be on the Fox Reality Network. It's a channel dedicated to reality television, and the new show is called Battle of the Bods. Here's the game, basically. Five smoking hot girls in lingerie or bikinis are rated from 1 to 5 by a panel of 3 guys who can see them through a one-way mirror and a soundproof booth.
It's about time we finally just got down to it.
Yep.
I mean, this is what has been working toward all the time.
Is this in the vein of, what was that show? Are You Hot? I think was a show
hot,
a few years
hot
ago,
or
Ralph?
Not or whatever.
Hot or Not, right.
Yep. Yeah.
Where one of them had a laser pointer.
Well, Lorenzo Lamas had a laser pointer, yes. It was spectacular.
This is better, Bean, because the girls will be ranked by the guys 1 through 5 for hotness in several rounds. The face round, the boob round, and the ass round. And then, of course, the overall appearance round. But what the girls have to do, while they're in a soundproof booth, they have to rate themselves as well and put themselves in order from 1 to 5 most attractive for those features.
Won't they all just say, I'm the hottest?
Of course they will. Therein lies the comedy, when they start battling with each other about who's hottest. if they match the rankings that the gentlemen give them, then they win cash. So that is their motivation.
So there is motivation for
to,
that.
To perform properly.
All right.
Yeah, sounds like a great show if you're a smoking hot chick who doesn't mind being in your lingerie or a bikini on television and you'd like to win some money. Try out for Battle of the Bods. You can go to www.foxreality.com/casting for more details. You can find out. So I just want to give you a heads up and let us know if you're going to be on that show, will you? Because
absolutely.
I'm super excited. John Goodman just got out of rehab.
That was a quiet entrance for a huge man.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's a guy that big sneak into anything?
Wow.
But apparently he snuck into the Promises Treatment Center in Malibu, California, and he is now out. He said in a statement released by his publicist, "For my family and myself, I voluntarily took the necessary steps to remain sober for the rest of my life." Yeah, don't overshoot your goals there, John. Well, how about one day at a time? Does that ring a bell, that whole process?
How about that thing?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he's just not a red-hot celebrity, but you don't see him on the shows and on the celebrity websites coming out of a club blotto every night. I mean,
no.
It certainly has been a low-key problem if he's had one for a while.
He has the decency to drink himself into a urine-soaked coma at home.
Exactly.
That's what we want more of our celebrities to do.
And not have his daughter film it and put it on YouTube.
That's right. Yeah. Private drunk. That's the way we like them. O.J. Simpson. Things are looking bleak for the juice.
Yes.
The two co-defendants who have already copped a plea deal with prosecutors are starting to flip and testify on O.J. Walter Alexander is one of those co-defendants, and he told police in a tape-recorded statement that O.J. said, and I quote, "Hey, just bring some firearms," when they were heading to the sports memorabilia dealer that they eventually robbed. He said, "We don't have to use them, but just to look tough, you know, so that these people know that, you know, we're here for business."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That does add a few charges to the police report. Armed robbery comes to mind.
And it does shore up also the conspiracy charges that Nevada's going to slap him with. So
seems like all of these guys, though, are effing shaky on every count.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that this will even help.
Yeah, let's not get too excited.
Yeah, you're hanging out with O.J. at the freaking Palace Station. These are not exactly high-action guys.
And if they're everybody's testifying, all of their accounts of the situation are shaky. From the guy who was robbed to his co-conspirators to the guy who brought him into the room, the whole thing is built on a house of cards.
And isn't there, if there's anybody who's automatically threatening without a weapon, isn't it O.J. Simpson? Like, does he really need to bring any weapons to
it's a good
scare
point.
People?
I'm just concerned that he may not be found guilty, because let's face it, last time they had DNA
They did.
Now they got the eyewitness testifying from some shaky characters. So I don't know.
It would be weird, though, if he goes to jail for this when he killed all those people and didn't serve a day.
Weird but good.
Hey, look, as long as he goes, I don't care what he goes for.
Yeah. Weird but good.
As long as he goes. Francis Ford Coppola, legendary director, is dissing some of America's greatest actors in the latest issue of GQ magazine.
Uh-oh.
He comes down to Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, and my buddy Al Pacino.
What?
Well, they're clearly hacks, Ralph.
Well, what he's saying is when they were young and insecure, they were great. He said, I worked with Pacino and De Niro when they were really on the come. Now Pacino is very rich, maybe because he never spends any money. He puts it in his mattress. But he said now that they've all got money, they're not taking chances anymore, and they're struggling as artists.
I don't know. I think they're all still terrific actors. I think Nicholson's as good now as he's ever been.
Do you think they make safer choices because of that?
I don't know what any of them want anymore, but they all live off the fat of the land. Look, you know, if they're not writing movies or producing movies like The Godfather and Raging Bull and stuff like that anymore, it's hardly the actor's fault that some of their projects fall flat. And by the way, Francis Ford Coppola, you directed Jack with Robin Williams, who played an 8-year-old kid who looked 50 and had to go to school. Below me. Let's compare your later work to The Godfather, 1972.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Ass Munch.
Yeah, what was your last Apocalypse Now or The Conversation while we're on the topic?
Right.
Wow.
So, yes.
You told him.
Booyakah.
Pacino's fantastic, but he does seem to me like he's kind of turned into a little bit of a parody of Al Pacino in some of his roles. Like, even in Ocean's 13, it just seems like he was just chewing it up, you know?
Well, if they cast him in a role that he can sleepwalk through, I think he will sometimes take the path of least resistance. But if he's given a really meaty role, too, like if you see Angels in America, where he played Roy Cohn in that film,
well, that's a good
amazing.
Example. Yeah. It was great, yeah.
So, sometimes it's a project. Speaking of projects, very excited. Psycho Mike, it's got to be good news for you. They are making a prequel to the prequel of the Mummy movies. You remember The Mummy with Brendan Fraser?
Sure.
Yes.
Two of those they made.
Right.
Then they made a prequel with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the Scorpion King. Remember that?
Right.
Well, now Universal Studios is in pre-production for The Scorpion King, Rise of Akkadian. The Rock will not be starring in this prequel to the prequel. However, starring Randy Couture.
Yes.
Ultimate Fighting Championship King. Yes, he will be the lead in this film.
Really?
I'm so glad. I'm so glad guys with no acting experience are getting into the game because it really, really... You know, Francis Ford Coppola, why don't you go after them? Instead of Pacino, Nicholson, De Niro. Randy Couture is getting his own movie. Not that I have anything against Randy Couture.
Randy, that's Ralph.
He is a fine
K-Rock.
Gentleman.
K-Rock.com.
I'm just saying, you got K-Fed doing One Tree Hill and you got Randy Couture making major motion pictures.
I'm saying Randy can do whatever he wants.
That's the world we live in. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chuck Berry, king of rock and roll, 81 years old today, still playing guitar, still taking his money in cash. God bless him. You think he just has just like boxes of cash laying around the house at home?
If he only accepts cash, he's got to have it someplace.
Honestly, doesn't trust our banking system.
Piles.
Doesn't like checks. So he just
he's small town Georgia boy. He probably has never put money in a bank in his whole life. Wasn't he one of those guys, Ralph, who had a great deal of problem with the Internal Revenue Service with some of his cash maybe not being accountable?
Sure. He's 81 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yeah.
The muscles from Brussels. Is 47 years old today. Zac Efron from High School Musical is 20 years old today. And Peter Svensson from The Cardigans turns 33, and Peter asked me to send you guys his regards.
No, he's the best.
His favorite interview ever was the Kevin and Bean Show.
I got some rest.
Do you guys, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Bean and I asked all of our questions within the first 40 seconds. There were no answers.
Well, when you have no answers coming, it's easy to
and then we were out.
To stack them up over the airport, as they say.
Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
You'd be surprised how many guests have that reaction, by the way. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's welcome back to the program, LaQuisha. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How y'all?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we haven't talked to you in a while, but I know your favorite show is on MTV. It's the Tila Tequila Shot of Love. You can't stop talking about it, can you?
That is because technology has finally created the perfect reality show. They take a stupid, whorish host,
right,
Tila Tequila, and then they put her in a house with a dozen dumb straight men and another dozen dumb lesbians and watch the fireworks happen.
And they're all competing for her, right?
That's right, okay. Because she's looking for real love, Kevin.
Right, of course.
And that's why she's on an MTV reality show.
Right.
That's where you go.
And they're all competing for her. And the first episode last week, remember, she met them all separately at the very end, put the two groups together, and announced that she was bisexual.
Right.
Well, this week we got to see everyone's reaction to it. And you remember racist cowboy guy?
Oh, sure, yes.
Who got drunk and picked a fight with the black guy?
Sure.
Well, he is concerned about lesbians being introduced into the mix.
That was a total wrench in the truck.
That was a wrench in the truck.
I hate it when there's a wrench in the truck.
When you put a wrench in the truck, that truck won't go no more when that happens. Now, I think the guys were a little happier seeing attractive lesbians added to the house than the lesbians were to know that there are men in the house,
sure,
with them.
Sure.
Lesbians, I'm not know if you're familiar with any lesbians personally, not always so fond of regular guys.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like these women. These
guys are disgusting to me.
I have a really big problem with guys.
Yeah, they're mostly not big fans.
And it's interesting because guys love lesbians, so I can understand that it's really just a one-way street.
It is, yeah.
And one guy thinks he's got the whole point of the game now figured out. He thinks he understands what Tila is going to have to do through the course of this entire program.
It's up to her whether she likes the penis or she likes the vagina. Penis, vagina. Penis, vagina.
Yeah, he's got it down.
How does he do that? How does he simplify it like that?
He's got vision. He can, he's got laser focus where he can see the crux of what's happening. It's either penis or vagina. Now, most of lesbians think, hands down, they're going to win when it comes to winning the heart of Tila Tequila. Because
chicks are better than guys.
That's what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
The girls are going to win because the girls will get the heart, whereas the men are here for the... Can I say...
No, you can't. You cannot say that on television.
By all means, ask it and say it twice.
Please do. So, now they're all at a big pool party. They've all been introduced. They all know what's going on now with the game. And the good news for us, the viewer, is that the redneck and alcohol are still in the same vicinity.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And redneck get drunk, and he starts questioning the lesbians on their sexuality. And let me tell you something. You really want to make a lesbian happy? Ask her if she's really sure she's a lesbian or not, or whether she's just trying to experiment with her sexuality. Hardcore lesbians love it when you doubt the fact that they're truly lesbian.
Are you exploring your sexuality with all these 11
lesbians?
These girls are straight. Pardon my French.
Yeah, let's pardon his French, shall we?
LaQuisha, I never asked you this even from the start of the show, but you're a God-fearing, church-going woman. Do you have a stance on the homosexuality of these women, or anything goes?
Okay. Hell no, I don't care who you get warm with in your bed at night.
All right. Okay.
Just
good
don't
for you.
Mind my business. I won't mind your business.
As long as no one gets busy with this cowboy dude.
That's right. Just no one sleep with him. Man, woman, dog, nothing.
Okay.
Now, cowboy redneck dude, he is willing to accept that Tila Tequila is a bisexual.
Nice.
He is willing to be open enough to enter into a relationship with her.
She's in a bisexual relationship. I'm going to be number one. Yeah. Granted, I will let number two come in if she wants to be a hot girl.
Right. He is open-minded as they come.
Wow.
In West Virginia or whatever the goddamn place he live in where they're still killing my people.
He might be the dumbest person I've ever heard.
Well, as I said, the good news is he's drinking heavy again.
Good.
And you remember the black fella he got in a fight with in the first episode?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If I could punch somebody right now and send them to the grave, it'd be Margus.
Yeah, that's the same fella.
Ouch.
That's great.
He wants to not only punch him, but send him to his grave.
Kill a guy on a reality show.
Yeah, they're going to be hanging. He's gonna make a lynch out of a rope and put it over a tree, I think.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, because they're drinking, a fight breaks out between the two of them, as you can imagine.
Excellent.
Only this time it turns into an actual fist fight. And Margus can't really understand why Redneck want to do that.
All this in here, you want to fight with me? What type of dude is you? Because Margus is always...
But you know what?
Kiss my black ass.
Yeah, that's when he drops his pants and actually shows his black ass to Redneck. Don't be doing that. That's like waving a red flag at a bull. You do not want to show a white man your black ass and kiss my ass.
Yeah, that's true.
Because naturally, another fight breaks out between these two. And Tila Tequila, she is just so upset by all the violence. She has to go off into a quiet corner and compose herself with one of the lesbians.
These are my real feelings. I don't want to seem like it's a joke to many people because I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve.
Yeah, it's a lot to come out.
That's right. This is real. She does not want this to become a joke. this is her looking for love.
So
her real feelings in a real situation on MTV with games and lesbians and it's real. Yeah. And it's not a joke.
There's nothing less real.
That's right. And let me tell you, Redneck, he has finally settled into the idea that the lesbians are going to be there for a while. And it turns out he has some previous experience.
A couple of my girlfriends has been lesbians, and they told me later on in the relationship, yeah, I'm a lesbian. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
I can just see women breaking up with this dumb mother effer.
Yeah.
And them say, well, why are you breaking up with me? And they're, I'm lesbian. That's it. I'm a lesbian.
All right, cool.
All right, I'm cool with that now.
Or dating this guy for a few weeks would turn any woman into a lesbian. Maybe that's it. Maybe they really are lesbians after they leave them.
Either way. Well, Tequila continues her real non-joke search for love in this show when she decides to ask something of the man.
Boys, in order to please me, you have to know what a woman wants. You can't be in touch with your feminine side unless you've walked a mile in women's shoes.
Yeah, put on some women's shoes and walk around.
No.
But do not treat this like a joke.
No.
This is a real look for love right now. Put on those women's shoes and walk the red carpet.
Come on.
Seriously, while I'm looking for love with real feelings.
Come on.
Well, naturally, these idiots do it. And Marcus, he thinks he did a great job.
I think I worked them high heels like they ain't never been worked before.
Yes, that is the way he actually laughs.
No, it isn't.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, Tequila continues her non-jokey search for true love with the next game they play.
Now, what I want to do is have a foam party.
What?
A foam party.
What the hell's that?
That's when they fill up a room with foam, and you go in and you play around in it.
Like all real searches for love?
Yes, like all serious real feelings are dealt with, that's how you settle things. In a room full of foam, like you're partying in a pizza. Now, here's the thing. They have little poker chips hidden in the foam. 3 poker chips. Whoever finds those chips gets to spend some alone time with Tequila in her non-jokey serious search for love.
Okay.
Now, there's like 2 dozen people and 3 chips, and most people are going crazy trying to find them, but one guy played it a little smarter.
I wasn't even trying to find the poker chip. I was just pretending to still look for it, grabbing the girls and stuff, like trying to knock them down, fall on top of me. Nothing tops a foam party with 11 lesbians.
That's true.
He's got to turn them around, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gonna make them all want the sausage. Well, sadly, it comes time for elimination.
No.
And 4 people must go.
No.
And you can imagine how nervous everyone gets, including Redneck.
As much confidence that you think you have, when you are in that elimination stand, your confidence is equal or if below less.
What? Huh?
No matter how confident you feel going into the elimination ceremony, your confidence then becomes equal or below less.
Please tell me he doesn't get eliminated. He's magic.
No way MTV gonna let this fella go.
Fantastic.
They're gonna give him his own spin-off show where he debates people on politics and whatnot. No, sadly, 2 butch lesbians get cut.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Right.
Then Eddie, who is a self-proclaimed virgin, gets the boot as well.
Sure.
And Eddie thinks that him being a virgin may have played against him or for him.
Me being a virgin, I feel like it was a double-edged sword. Tila, best of luck. And I hope you find what you're looking for.
Yeah, a double-edged sword is a sword that cut both ways. You just got booted off the show. That that wattage that hit you.
Yeah.
That's like a Harry Carey sword with a Japanese man sticking it through his own self, because there's no two sides.
No.
And sadly, Marcus also got eliminated. He did such a great job wearing those high heel shoes, but he's still going home. And no one is happier than Redneck.
When Marcus left, I had to be the happiest man, because he's stupid.
Yeah,
he's stupid. Listen to me. If Redneck is calling you stupid, you just kill yourself. You just check out, because there's nothing left for you when he says you're stupid.
Wow. How many people are left now? We got seven each? No, nine each.
Still nine lesbians and nine idiots left battling over this ugly, ugly Asian dumb whore. Now you see why I love the show?
Absolutely.
All right.
Best show ever. Thank you, LaQuisha.
Let me tell you how lucky you people are to be listening to Kevin now versus the way he sounded when we came on this morning in the 5 o'clock hour, which was a guy gargling razor blades. It was a rough night last night, wasn't it, Kevin?
This is a mess.
Exactly.
Yeah. We went to the whiskey last night because Psycho Mike's band was playing, Band Packs. And they were doing a charity event for, what, Thai hookers? What was it?
Let's not cut it short. It was hookers of all the Mekong area.
Okay.
Burmese hookers.
Not just Thais. Okay.
Laotian hookers.
So there are a lot of things that happen at a band pack show. One of them is that paper gets thrown everywhere. Newspapers, mm-hmm. OC Weeklies, whatever. It's just raining paper.
Now, let me stop you right there. Now, there's a long history in rock and roll of bands that are, shall we say, less than competent. And what they do to make their shows entertaining, since musically they can't cut it, is they, I don't know, like Kiss, dress up in silly costumes, or they get some sort of a deal that the audience is into that doesn't involve the music.
Right.
They're basically just trying to cover up for how amateur they sound. Is that the case with band packs?
Not the case at all.
No.
This is all the crowd. Like, we had really nothing to do with this.
But every single show this happens. So all the security was there. They wanted to stop this because there was paper everywhere. So they started throwing people out. So we'd be watching for the security. And then me and the drummer for Sanchez, the band that sings the Dick Cheney song that we play here on K-Rock, we started betting each other $20 that we could hit Psycho Mike in the face while talking or singing. He had to be talking or singing while you hit him in the face.
Okay.
And we probably threw 400 pieces of paper at Psycho Mike. And we could not, just right over his hair, he'd duck to the left, he'd hit it with his hand.
So he's playing
and
singing and ducking.
And that's the kind of support that we give him. And then finally I realized it's not heavy enough. The paper's not heavy enough. So I poured my vodka on it and balled it up. And then it was nice and solid and heavy. And I rifled it right into his nostrils while he was on the mic. I mean, I wrecked him with that one.
Listen,
with friends like that, right, Mike?
As Kevin said, his average was bad. I mean, they threw a lot. But the one he hit me with, it was right at like the crescendo of a song. And I'm going to do this like big dramatic note. And it just smashes me right in the face. The whole crowd's
Hey, you can have a 1-for-5 day at the plate if that one is a grand slam, man. I mean, everybody forgives the other ones.
Then it occurred to me that he's an alcoholic. He's a reformed alcoholic, and I'm putting vodka up his nose and in his mouth.
Practically put it in his mouth.
I went to his wife later. I was like, I'm really sorry if he falls off the wagon. It's my fault. I apologize for that. But near the end of their set, this chick gets up on stage, and there was a mosh pit in the middle. I got knocked over a couple times. I got beer spilled all over me. And I was thinking the whole time, people kept saying, where's Bean? I kept thinking, oh my God, he would be in hell right now.
Yes.
But there was a mosh pit, and these guys were all banging around. Some chick goes running up on stage and just launches off of the stage, and there's nobody in that particular spot to catch her.
Oh, ouch.
And
ouch.
She didn't look for anyone to catch her. It was almost like she was trying to commit suicide. You know what I mean? It was like she wanted to die. I don't know if it was the music was that bad to her or what, but she wanted to take her own life.
Wow.
And she dove off the stage, accidentally kind of hit a guy's head as he ran by in the mosh pit, and flipped over and like landed on her back.
Oh my God.
Everybody was like, oh, dear God.
Was it like that moment at X Games where the guy was coming off the skateboard,
the
right?
The belly flop from death on the big air. Yeah, that one where he's swinging his arms and his feet shoot off of him and everything. It looked just like that.
Jeez.
And I thought, that girl's dead.
Yeah, that's exactly what went through it.
And she was liquored up enough, she jumped up and started dancing.
She was
God fine. Bless her.
God bless her. Alcohol is good for something.
So it was Band Pax and it was Sanchez playing together. And I guess Psycho Mike took advantage of being on stage to play some of the songs that he's made famous here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So you did a live version of Brow Down, your Armenian hit, right?
Yeah. An extended remix version, by the way.
Fantastic.
That's what I brought.
You did. You brought out Old School for the longtime fans. You did some Firecrotch for him on the stage last night.
I did.
And a little bit of Hey There Vagina, I understand, was also made the set list, which is very exciting.
It was back strong.
Okay, who was the dude? This is my final question on this, and then we'll take some calls. Who was the dude that came up and started singing the song, "When I say piece of fruit, you say kumquat"? Yeah. Piece of fruit! Kumquat! Piece of fruit! That was the whole... Who was that guy? Is he a member of your band?
No, he's a longtime friend, a longtime band pet. And,
a band pet? That's what you call your member?
Yeah, that's our fan club.
Did he write, "When I say fruit, you say kumquat"?
No, that one kind of happened organically at a show a long time ago. And he's
at least it was 8 minutes.
He's this high school teacher. He's in charge
no,
of our youth.
He's not.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
When I say fruit, you say kumquat. He's a high school teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, that rules.
So Band Pax and Sanchez playing the gig last night. And I guess Lightning Scorsese, our producer Lightning, was there with the video camera. And I guess he's going to be taking some of the highlights from the set. And it's going to be up in the next few days in the video section of Kevin Bean on Kerrick.com, right?
Although he hasn't learned that he's going to have to edit it yet. And he shot about 400 hours of video. So it may take a while.
Ooh.
It may take a while.
Okay.
But that should be up soon. Watch.
Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew?
Well, Halloween is just around the corner, 2 weeks from now. We got a pair of tickets for the Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain happening Fridays through Sundays now through Halloween night. That's good times right there. 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of Halloween, Kevin, how about we start on line
how about
one?
We don't.
And go down to Nan on the Kevin and Bean Show. Nan, good morning. What it do?
Hi. What it do, nephew and baby boo?
Hi, Nan.
Hi, Lisa May. That is my dog, Barky. She loves Halloween spooks. It's way better than Squeaky Deaky.
So when your dog hears the song Halloween Spooks on the radio, she gets all excited?
Oh, she gets all excited, starts barking, jumping around.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see if that works here. Although she probably doesn't have a radio on if she's talking to us.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you why the dog likes it. It sounds like sirens.
That's smart, smart dog, Nan. You're doing the right thing by introducing her to quality music at a young age.
Putting you on hold. Thank you. Let's stop playing the song now.
I wish that the children...
Right. Ralph, I'm still getting hate on Kevin after all these years on Halloween Spooks. What's up with that?
I can't comprehend it. It is one of the great classics of all time.
And by great classics, you mean worst songs ever.
No.
Ever.
How many Halloween songs do you know?
Ever.
This one lives on.
I know none. You're right.
Yeah, see?
All right, let's go to Franklin in Lakewood. Good morning, Franklin. Hello, Franklin.
Oh, yeah. What it do, nephew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My name's Franklin. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I was on hold to talk to you guys, and then I'm shocked when they come to me on the phone.
What's going on?
Oh, I was wondering who's hotter since they're both going to be on Heroes, Kaden Panettiere or Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Hayden Panettiere or Kristen Bell?
Hotter's like sexier.
Hayden Panettiere. She's
it depends.
She's got
smoking.
More sex.
They're completely
smolders.
You get out, Dave.
They're
completely different types, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Hayden Panettiere to me is sexier. Kristen Bell is way cute.
She's cute.
She's a beautiful
adorable.
Girl. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Hayden's got that thing. Did you see the episode with the guy when she was all being all flirty with him everything? She's gotten spades.
Hayden doesn't compare to Kristen.
Dave, did we say it out?
No, don't care.
Turn off
his mic.
I got to tell you, I know that no one ever cares what I think on this topic, but I believe I prefer Kristen as well.
Bell. It's
all
about Bell.
Then it's Hayden.
Yeah, that's a done deal.
All right, Mike, you're with me on Kristen?
I'm with you.
Wow,
no, you're wrong.
Like that.
You're wrong. Hayden's awesome.
You might
she is awesome.
Then,
but that's how awesome Kristen Bell is that she's even
so
more awesome,
hot.
I think.
And I agree that she might lose out to Hayden Panettiere in the sexy factor, but she's so much better looking that it just she wins.
I could listen to Mike yell towards a microphone
so
all day long. So it's very entertaining when he speaks from the back of the room.
At
like
least
that.
Bean's not asking him follow-up questions.
Yeah,
let's go to Mary Cruz. Mary?
Good Hello? Morning.
Hi there.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What are you calling about?
On Saturday, we went to Oktoberfest in Alpine Village, and there was this guy walking around trying to pick up on girls, and his pickup line was, he was Dave, the King of Mexico.
He said he was Dave, the King of Mexico?
Yeah.
Dave, are you at the Alpine Village this weekend?
Nope.
Dave?
Dave.
Nope.
All right. Who is so lame that if they're going to make up the name of a person to try to use to get chicks, they pick Dave?
Going around telling girls you can get them into concerts, backstage
fantastic.
Yeah. You made it, Dave.
I bet you he was getting mad chicks, too.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
you do.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Right. Just like me.
Right.
Sure. Dave, you are the king of Mexico, and it doesn't get you laid. What makes this guy think it's going to work for him?
It is the worst impersonator ever.
I wouldn't pick anyone on this show, to be honest. What the hell?
It's like saying you're OJ.
If you're going to pick a celebrity,
you might
someone good.
Yeah. Right. I'm the Night Stalker. Get some more chicks than I'm the king of Mexico.
Adolf Hitler, nice to meet you.
That is hilarious. Marie, thank you so much for calling on that. Let's try Ree in Costa Mesa on the Kevin Abid Show. What it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do, guys?
Hey there, what's going
on? Hello.
I just wanted to know if you guys heard about our friend Jimmy Kimmel getting banned from Monday Night Football.
How about that, by the way? What? He works for ABC, and they won't let him on Monday Night Football anymore.
Was that because of his Detroit chunk?
What?
No.
What was it?
I think what happened was he was making fun of Joe Theismann, and they just kicked him off the show.
Aww.
And he makes the joke, and the funny thing is it was completely silent.
Which, that doesn't surprise me. But you know what, Jimmy, when he was on the pre-show, he was making fun of those guys, and they hated it. They tried to get him off the show every week.
When he was on Fox,
Yeah, so apparently he was on. He stopped by this Monday night. I guess once a season they do some crossover promotion where Jimmy Kimmel's in the booth. I remember last year he came up to Seattle and sat in the booth for a game. So he was on this past Monday night's game. Was it the Giants-Falcons? Right. So he's in the booth and he's making fun of Tony Kornheiser, saying, "Oh, you're the reason Joe Theismann's not here. You're the reason he got fired." And apparently the producers just went ballistic. And not only were they displeased that night, they are displeased forever with Mr. Kimmel, apparently.
Come on.
They have no sense of humor about the internal politics of that show at all.
I love Jimmy for that.
I do too.
It's great.
I love that. Thank you for the call.
Well, we're going to have Jimmy on in the next few days because we're going to talk about his crazy schedule, I guess, next week with flying back and forth every single day to host the Regis and Kelly show and his own show. So he's going to be flying from New York to L.A. every single day. So we'll ask him about the Monday Night Football thing, too.
By the way, if you're choosing anyone between Kornheiser and anyone else, get rid of Kornheiser.
Yeah, anyone else.
Absolutely.
That's what you're supposed to do there.
All right, we're kind of out of time here, Bean. We got to move on.
You're a bad person.
Dude, look at the clock.
This would have been the best call.
Bean always goes to the bad one.
This was the one that was going to put us over the top.
I got to tell you.
This was the final pledge at the telethon that was going to make us reach our goal.
You're betting the house on Bean?
The house.
I'm going to say I insist we take Jared's call in Bellflower on line 7 because if this is a true story, this is a phenomenal story that people will remember all day long.
All right. Jared, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jared.
What's your story?
Okay, I was driving my car yesterday, and I have no tags, no insurance, and a cracked windshield. And I got pulled over by an L.A. sheriff, and I was freaking out because I just bought $100 worth of pot. I bought an eighth for me and an eighth for my friend.
Right.
And they searched my car. They found a bong in the pipe in my pocket, the weed in my pocket. They put me in the back of the car, cuffed me, and I thought I was going to go to jail. They took me behind a Walmart and made me smoke all the weed.
No.
All of it.
All at once?
All of it.
Smoking!
Bowl after
you
bowl.
Keep smoking!
We'll teach you. We'll teach you to use drugs. Smoke this marijuana.
Is that even legal for a police officer to force a citizen to do drugs?
No, of course not.
But they're his drugs. He clearly had them on him.
After that, he broke my bong and then made me walk back to my car, which is like a 5-mile walk.
Are you sure this wasn't your dad that was doing this to you?
Really?
This is like the police.
That's how they get you to stop smoking cigarettes when you're a kid, right? Smoke the whole pack behind the barn.
Right. I got to tell you, I hope this is true. That's awesome.
I don't see a reason why Jared would make this up.
Whoever that policeman or sheriff was or whoever, good on you. That rules.
It may be a really lazy sheriff who doesn't want to book anything into evidence because he doesn't want to do the paperwork. So I got to get rid of this pot somehow. What do I do? I'll just make the dude smoke it all.
The only thing that would have been better is if the cop helped you smoke it. That's the only thing your story was missing, Jared.
Hey, don't guard that bomb. I'm a cop. I have a gun. Give it to me.
Now, how about an apology, Kevin? That was a great call, right?
I apologize. You were right. I was wrong.
Woo! I won the house.
That was a great story.
I want to thank our special guest, Harvey Levin, for joining us today. Of course, TMZ.com should be your first stop on the internet for all the showbiz stuff. And, of course, TMZ TV every weeknight at 6:30 on Channel 11. Tomorrow, though, for two reasons, a huge Kevin and Bean show you won't want to miss.
Well, tomorrow's Friday. We got the movie beat. We also have Kim Kardashian on the program.
That's the two reasons. That's the two reasons right there.
And then some unknown musical artist.
How about some proper love in the
8 o'clock hour?
Tell everybody who's coming in tomorrow.
Weird.
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 Yep.
Wow, weird.
Weird's going to be here at 8.
Weird Al Yankovic?
That's right.
Yeah! That's the one.
You know any other weirds?
Yeah. My uncle, but he's not really a musician.
All right. Well, anyway, we got
he just
weird
comes
tomorrow.
In and touches you.
Yeah, he's just weird.
Yeah. Well, that is a hell of a program. I regret that we have to wait 19 hours to start that show because it sounds that good.
We've had a lot of great bands on this show. Mm-hmm. Bean has never been more excited than he is about Weird.
Weird
because
is special.
He's the best.
He's good.
Weird
I'm not,
is unique.
I'm not trying to cut down Weird, but I'm saying we had Foo Fighters. We have great bands
right.
in here.
I
but
know.
You got Foo Fighters. You got Rage. I mean, you have all these bands that share a common genre.
Right.
How many guys do you know of in the parody novelty music genre that has the level of Al's success?
Just Weird.
He is unique.
Yeah,
he
there's
is the
no one.
One.
Right.
He is the
he's
one.
A,
all right.
He's at the top of the mountain, and there's nobody even close. So that's why I respect him so. So that'll be tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Green Day, Sublime, Jet, that solo effort from Eddie Vedder.
He's good at Eddie Vedder.
Eddie Vedder. He sang I Love a Rainy Night, didn't he?
Out of the Into the Wild soundtrack and more straight ahead.